I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, you please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt. Here. Alderman Skronsky.
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Any individuals? Yes, sir.
Fred Keller, 6624 Scenic Court. I wanted to address the item on the agenda, G1, the common bond. Claire Meadows, I think it's listed as that the change to the Unified Development Ordinance. Alderman Ryan and I have looked into this pretty extensively, into common bond communities, and we want to share some information with the council before you make any decisions on this. And I ask that you strongly consider whether Franklin taxpayers really want to open the door on this kind of development proposed by Common Bond, and here's why. Our research found that Joseph Schwenker, the applicant, is simply a representative of Common Bond. He is not the developer, nor is he a payroll employee of Common Bond communities. I've seen on a number of occasions, and most recently when projects like this are being discussed before the council, the last one comes to mind is Carstensen's Sanctuary Lake. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Am I?
Oh, I'm trying to get my pen to work. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
According to a March 24 email we received from Mr. Schwenker, this housing unit is a senior apartment designed for independent living for persons ages 62 and over. Rents are based on 30% of the income level of the resident. Common bond property will have tax-exempt status on this property. That, again, is according to their representative. And I'm going to remind this body that the city is facing a property tax implications having to do with the recently sold senior apartment complex, which was underassessed by $7 million by the city assessor's office, and that is the Brentwood Apartments, senior apartments. Again, according to Mr. Schwenker, Common Bond has senior communities in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Wisconsin has, by statute, complete tax exemption for properties held by nonprofit organizations like Common Bond. And two of the Common Bond 5 properties in Wisconsin qualify for this exemption, which allows Common Bond to keep rents even more affordable to residents who live on Social Security and other small fixed incomes. I have to set this down. I'm like, oh, my next page. According to their website, Common Bond is the Midwest's largest nonprofit provider of affordable housing and with services. Has served the region for over 40 years. It develops, owns, and manages 5,000 affordable rental apartments, and that is politically correct for low-income apartments and townhouses throughout 50 cities in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Close to 8,000 people, families, seniors, and people with disabilities and other barriers call Common Bond home. So you see, it's not, if we're opening a door here, that this is not just seniors that this company deals with. It's also families with children, which, if it is not paying taxes, it is using services of the city and the school district. On average, residents' household income is $14,000 a year. And that, again, is according to Common Bond. Based upon the facts Alderman Ryan and I have provided, is this, you know, we're asking the question, I'm asking the question, is this the kind of development city is moving forward with? And I'm going to repeat, I'm just going to recite here, Mr. Mayor, something from your campaign literature from the last election. You stated in there, you asked for improved quality of life in Franklin, for more places to shop. You wanted public safety, and you wanted trails and parks. We are delivering these services. And I'll ask, does Common Bond match this campaign rhetoric? That's something for the board, the council to consider. And finally, for your information, GS Online reported on May 12 that the Hales Corners Village Board has voted against rezoning a property proposed for a 40-unit senior apartment development. The decision came after neighbors raised concerns about traffic, stormwater, runoff, and declining property values. That's all I have. I've got, if anybody wants backup on this, I do have all the backup.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Hi, everybody. So you probably know why I'm here. I'm here to talk about the agenda item relative to Alderman Wilhelm's appointment to the Economic Development Commission, or whatever it turns into, depending upon the proposals here by the Alderman Schmidt or Alderman Taylor. Having been a part of the Economic Development Commission and having bored you with all my comments at the Committee of the Whole, I'm not going to go and recite all of that, but I will tell you that someone who's passionate about the city of Franklin, I read through the proposed ordinances that are up for discussion tonight, and my alderman, Alderman Taylor, I must tell you, I think yours is concerning to me. To subordinate the Economic Development Commission to some sort of a task force or subcommittee under the CDA does exactly what I was concerned about when I talked about this at the Committee of the Whole. This appears to be political horse trading between my alderman, Alderman Taylor, in District 4, and Alderman Skronsky in District 6, and a bunch of others, in a way that furthers what we have seen in the past in Franklin as a good old boys network, which we really, as residents, are disappointed about. So as you can tell, I'm up in some level of ire because I would really like to see the furthering of the city for economic development, very passionate about it, but consolidation of power is exactly not in the best interest of the city, in my opinion. Our objective should be furthering non-residential high-quality tax base. It should be trying to focus on business development that furthers that, raise the standards, continue to bring great businesses here with good standards, and to do so in a manner that is not underneath the powers of the CDA as it's been restructured, if you will, with now a new addition and some other stuff. So from my standpoint, and I'm looking at Alderman Taylor's proposal, the specific measures that are in here consolidate power under the CDA. It is unclear to me as to why that is somehow more effective than in the past. I don't get it. Secondly, it doesn't address the membership concerns, the capabilities of backgrounds that we talked about the last time. And that's really the key to success is, do you want people who are lead generation? I think Alderman Schmidt speaks to that more in his proposal. You want lead generation for the city. You want people who are bringing businesses in. That ain't me. I told you guys that. I'm a deal closer. I'm a guy who can get stuff done, but I'm not a lead generator. Secondly, the accountability of task completion is something that suffered in the EDC in the past. So we would go through and we would propose to do work. We would have assignments. And if I remember the proposals relative to standards for development and specific areas in the city, some of the subcommittees got that done very, very quickly. Some of those never completed it in any real form. Part of it is just getting the job done within the citizenry, and that's something that the membership of the board should be accountable for and the leadership of the board, myself included. And then finally, one of the things I mentioned last time was a concern about a void of information from what I call insiders in the city versus the members of the EDC, and the proposal doesn't really speak to that. I don't know that it could, But that's something that stands as a concern. If I go to the second proposal on the table for tonight, which is from Alderman Schmidt, thank you very much, by the way, for putting something forward. From my standpoint, bringing the membership down to a more manageable size of 7 with 5 members being citizens and 2 being aldermen makes total sense. Having a couple members be at large is reasonable in my mind. But the real issue here still is one of focusing on high-quality non-residential tax base, which I didn't really see amidst the proposals. If our objective is to get to a more balanced tax base for the city, high-quality non-residential development is the key. It's business retention is important, being a liaison to Chamber of Commerce is important, those sorts of things. But it's really all about trying to ensure that the price per square foot, if you will, is higher, better, higher quality over time, and that in the end, the existing businesses and the residents of the city are relieved of tax burden that otherwise could occur if the development is of less quality. So from my standpoint, I've read this. I look forward to hearing your dialogue on it, guys, but I will tell you that, as I said before in the Committee of the Whole, I'm disappointed that at least in some form it feels like consolidation of power and some political horse trading, and I really don't know that that helps the city.
Joe, for the record, could you please state your name and address?
Oh, I'm so very sorry. Joe Haslow, 9864 South 35th Street.
Thank you, so.
You guys know me, I guess. I have to do that, though. Thanks for your time.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Suzanne Mayer at 9733 West Ryan Road, talking about the Ryan Creek Interceptor. We were at a meeting last night, and I asked the question to one of you about the funds and whether or not it's actually going to be paid for by the state with regards to the state of the state and the fact that they're broke. That question was not answered. I was ignored, I think. I don't know if that answer question was asked later, but my concern is very much for the 33,000 residents in this city, too, and if that money doesn't come through, we're all in trouble. So when does MSD know that they're going to be able to pay us back? Because it's my understanding that this project could start as soon as October, and if we don't know if we're actually going to get that money back.
Mr. Bennett, do you feel comfortable talking about that?
Yes. First of all, the state really isn't paying for the project. It's a clean water grant or a clean water loan from the state, which is a low-interest loan, so... The state
can I interrupt just 1 second there? There was an article in the paper that said that actual interest rate is actually going up. So what is the new interest rate going to be?
The city is trying to get under, and if they get their application in time, which it appears we can get under the grandfather clause, the clause that's the program that will change is now a 60%, will go to 80%. To put that in the kind of understandable terms, if the state borrows the money at 5%, the 60% will give the money to the project at 3%. If it raises to 80%, then it'll be 4%, and over 20 years for a $30 million project, I've been told by the finance people that could be an additional cost of $1.8 million. My understanding is the city has an intergovernmental agreement with the sewage district that will basically reimburse the city from the project. The project would not be started until the clean water loan is secured. And since we have an agreement with the district that our attorney and their attorneys wrote that then before the city would award bids, everything would be locked in place. So there, at that point in time, there would be no risk whatsoever. That's my understanding.
City Attorney?
I'll try a plain English answer. officer. City staff and consults have been meeting all the time with the two top officials in charge of the state Clean Water Fund loan administration at Department of Administration and Department of Natural Resources. They've all but guaranteed that the city will qualify. The city is looking to receive a loan commitment by June 30, which would predate all these changes in the interest rates that you read about in the newspapers. And there is a signed contract with the sewerage district requiring the sewerage district to participate by way of, in effect, covering all the loan costs that the city's going to incur, and that's a valid, binding, and enforceable contract.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
I'm Basil Ryan, 5250 Southwest County Line Road. Just one question I had. Well, two questions, but this one. We keep hearing that there's no cost to the city for this project, correct? But if all of these people are going to attend meetings, the city attorney, Mr. Bennett, the mayor, anyone else, that are getting paid, isn't that a cost to the taxpayers?
I would say yes.
Okay. I just keep seeing it in the paper, and it frustrates me when I keep seeing it that there's no cost to the Franklin taxpayers for this project, but I hear how much time they're tying up on this.
City Attorney?
Part of the Clean Water Fund loan application and coverage, legal engineering planning costs are covered by what's called a force account.
But I mean, like, your time, Mr. Bennett's time? So you guys are billing for that? Okay. That's all I was curious. Cal Patterson's time, all of that's going in. Okay. My question is since we don't have an ethics board, I did a little bit of research here, and I really don't know where to go with this. And I'm asking for some guidance from this council. And some of the questions that I have... And we also have administrative policies and procedures. And some of the questions that I have is, I don't know, it strikes me as odd, but let me throw these out and you'll see where I'm going. If someone goes to a conference and they go days before the conference starts, should they be billing the city for that time and meals? If they're at a conference... Or let's go this way. If they go on vacation and they tell everybody that they're going to be on vacation from point A to point E, but in between there, they bill the city for time. If they take a tax exemption on a conference or seminar or whatever, and then they take someone along with them, even though they're claiming that they're the only one staying there. If they, say, go on a vacation to a conference, and let's just say, hypothetically, it's Washington, Seattle area, and you fly out a week earlier at taxpayers' expense, but then you go on an Alaskan cruise, and then you come back, and you attend a conference, and then you fly back, whereas any one of us, we'd have to probably pay to fly out. That'd be part of the cruise, go on the cruise, come back, and that. I mean, is there, are these things, where would I go with these questions? Because I just have difficulty understanding if these are our policies. And these are just some things that I've, you know, come to conclude. Do I take these to the police department? Do I take these to the DA? I mean... Do we have a procedure anymore since we don't have an ethics board? So somebody could give me some guidance.
City Attorney?
When the city of Franklin dissolved the ethics board, it, in effect, adopted, if you will. Well, it was already subject to it, but it became subject to singularly Section 19.59 of the statute, which is the state ethics code for local government officials. And the procedures in there provide that component. complaints be made to the district attorney, and the way that's administered in Milwaukee County is it goes to the Milwaukee County Corporation Council. So that's how it's enforced, and that's the way the vast, vast, vast majority of Wisconsin municipalities undertake any ethics reviews under the statute.
Okay. Is corporation part of the county on the third floor versus the DA's office? Because you said the DA and then you said corporate council.
Yeah, the statute says DA, but in Milwaukee County they've delegated that review responsibility and enforcement to corporation council.
So I take all of this to corp council. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm John Pintick at 10233 West Ryan Road. I'm also going to talk in regard to the sewer. It was great to have the mayor and my alderman at the meeting yesterday. I think we probably learned a lot. I don't know if you quite know about the tractors and manholes out in the farm field. But
manholes are still tougher.
We'll get to that. A couple points I wanted to make about it. And I researched it. I know that the MMSD director, Kevin Schaffer, told Franklin that it wasn't in the facilities plan. The facilities plan was changed 2020. Franklin officials really wanted it. I don't think Kevin Schaffer wanted it. I know that the land was purchased by MMSD on 116th and Ryan, and that qualified the city qualified MMSD for a WPDES. And this is some of the criteria of the Clean Water Fund, because that drains into state waters of Lake Michigan. We also have to remember that we have a problem with MMSD and the state funding cuts, that it's a federal and state law to dump discharge from affluents into the lake, and MMSD struggles with that. You know, last summer that we've had extreme amounts of rain, overflows were imminent, and we have a problem. You're seeking a loan for $31 million for the sewer. I look at it from a Skeel standpoint. They had a developer named Burtz who paid double the fees to develop Champion Village to pump it up the hill. And I think MMSD took this into consideration. You also have Franklin, who is seeking the Ryan Creek Interceptor. The criteria of the Clean Water Fund for undeveloped areas of such means that it wouldn't qualify. So I'm not sure how the state is going to interpret this, because Muskego has a sewer. Franklin doesn't have any one development that's going to hook into this one. You're asking me for an easement for my property. I met with the mayor and Alderman Ken. One of the temporary easements across the mayor land is for truck traffic and heavy equipment, and we all know what that does to roads. But if you're going to restore the land back for farming, it isn't going to be the way it used to be. It's going to be compacted, and it's basically going to create something that you're never going to pay the landowner back for in dollars. So I'm just saying here tonight that I think this $31 million from the state could be better spent somewhere else. I think even though this sewer plan's been in the works for 1967 or whatever, I just don't think economically this is the right time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Bob Diedrich, 11111 West Ryan Road. I also am speaking on the Ryan Creek sewer. It's staked out to run across the south part of my property. Now, as a property owner, I am rather unhappy with the trees that would be sacrificed. Some of them are a 60-foot, 80-foot pine that I planted 50 years ago. The second thing is, I think, to acquire the rights to acquire the property are maybe a little premature. I think that waiting until the financing is set would be a much wiser decision. And I think there's other options with the expansion of our split on industry versus residential. I think there, as mentioned a number of times, there are other tracts of land, particularly along Highway 36, that would be available. We have vacant buildings. I think that we should develop the lands that are presently within the sewage district. I know that I speak only for myself on this, but I do know that a number of the neighbors are disturbed with the fact that this big sewage line is going to be running through their property, as I am. So I oppose the Ryan Creek sewer, and I ask you to put off the acquisition of rights to buy until after financing is set. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will turn to the next item on the agenda, and that is announcements from me. Upcoming events and news items. Proclamation congratulating Sadie Jasinski, four-year varsity starter for the Franklin Sabres bowling club team. I'm going to ask Alderman Schmidt if you'd be kind enough to perhaps go out and read the proclamation and give the award or the proclamation to her. Oh, here it is. I know that this is an issue that's near and dear to your heart, so. No, I, well, you know, for those that don't know, I mean, Alderman Schmidt is an author and wrote several books, one on bowling, and I think it was They Came to Bowl, wasn't it?
Was that the, right. Mm-hmm. Say, on behalf of the City of Franklin, whereas 2010-2011 the school year kept a very successful run for Sadie Jasinski, a four-year varsity performer on the Franklin Sabres high school bowling team, and whereas Sadie was a member of Franklin's 2010 and 2011 Wisconsin District 1 Conference Championship team and qualified for the National Juniors Gold Scholarship Tournament 2011, and whereas Sadie was a two-time second-team all-district selection and Franklin's most valuable bowler in 2010 and 2011, and whereas Sadie was a member of the National Honor Society, and whereas Sadie was recruited by several universities for her scholarship, scholastic and athletic abilities before accepting an athletic scholarship and signing a national letter with intent to bowl for Valparaiso University, and whereas Sadie has earned the distinction of becoming Franklin High School's first student athlete to receive a scholarship for the sport of bowling. Now, therefore, as Mayor of, Franklin, of the City of Franklin, I hereby commend Sadie Jasinski for athletic and academic endeavors at Franklin High School, and the pride I'm sure she will bring to our community, both on and off the wings, during her collegiate years at Valparaiso, dated at Franklin, Wisconsin, the 17th day of May 2011.
Honorable Mayor. So, congratulations.
A lifelong student.
Did you sign it?
Yeah, you did.
Next item on the agenda is for Eagle Scout David Henry Chakowski, and I'm going to ask Alderman Taylor, who was kind enough to go to the ceremony to handle the proclamation tonight. But before we do that, it's my understanding that, David, you're a lover of music, I understand, that you're a saxophonist for the UW-Madison Jazz Orchestra.
Your mother, the famous Lori, is here from the health nurse for the city of Franklin for 20 years. Absolutely spectacular employee and mother. We know that firsthand. Your father is Henry. He's an electrical engineer who works for Rockwell. And he's in Portland, Oregon tonight, so he couldn't be here. Otherwise, he would be. Your parents have been married for 26 years. Pretty doggone good. Yeah? You don't have that memorized? And they've lived in Franklin for 23 years. Your daughter is Christina, your daughter, and she's a freshman at Franklin High School, and she is in a spring concert tonight. Otherwise, she would probably be here as well. And she plays the trombone. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Common Council President Taylor to once again give you the proclamation.
Well, it was a privilege to be able to attend Sunday's Eagle Scout ceremony. I know the mayor was unable to make it, so one of the preferreds, I guess.
Yep.
For you. So this is a good one for the residents of the Port District.
If you see the DVD, if he likes.
Here we go. Okay. All right, here we go. Whereas, conferring of an Eagle Scout is one of the highest awards that can be bestowed upon a Boy Scout. For less than 2% of all Scouts achieve this score. Whereas such an award is an earned award, and the recipient must perform in a successful complete and pass the rigid requirements expected to achieve an Eagle Scout award. And whereas David Henry Jacobson has served and has been a member of Boy Scout Troop 501, Washington County Council, New River District for the past 8 years, and whereas David being very passionate about music, as he plays alto, tenor, and baritone saxophone, passed on the gift of music from his Eagle Scout service project that coordinated four local high schools and collection sites for and promote instrument donations. Between donations and holding spaghetti dinners that raised $800 to help fund repairs of some of the instruments, David collected 16 instruments consisting of saxophones, trumpets, and a piano, totaling over $3,500 in value, and donated them to Gusta Pape Rich Middle School's band program on South L Avenue in Milwaukee. And whereas David's parents, his scouting leaders, friends, and the community are proud of his achievement. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Thomas M. Taylor, City of Franklin, do hereby recognize David Henry Schakowsky on the occasion of him becoming an Eagle Scout and ask all residents of Franklin to join me in congratulating him on this outstanding achievement.
Thank you, Alderman Taylor, for doing that. Congratulations. Right, now turn to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of the regular meeting minutes of May 3rd, 2011.
So move to approve as amended, Mr. Mayor.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn down to item E1A. Is there a desire to wait until there's a decision? Or
yeah.
Move to approve.
There's a motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman?
1A.
1A. Mm-hmm. Alderman Taylor, anything?
This is on Alderman Wilhelm's economic
development. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to Alderman Wilhelm to determine what is going to happen to the commission before we take a vote? I would think that Alderman Wilhelm, if I recall, wanted this to be tabled until after a decision was made. We do have two items on the agenda this evening that does talk about potential changes. She should at least be aware of that before accepting that appointment.
Any other discussion?
So I'd suggest to have a table like we did 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, we have a motion on the floor to approve. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Alderman Sound?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky?
No.
Three ayes, three noes. The motion fails for a lack of a majority.
Mayor?
Alderman Wilhelm?
I'm curious on why my name was brought forward for three separate occasions, but yet now in the opportunity is to appoint me, you didn't break the tie in favor when you were the one who brought my name forward. So I just wanted to make that point that I was willing to serve at this time, regardless of how the the outcome was on the agenda items. Thank you.
And I did raise the issue of perhaps we should delay this until we get to the other items.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Alderman Solomon.
I, too, concur that it should wait. Even though there are two items on the agenda this evening, that doesn't preclude us from doing something else. And I would, at that point in time, move for reconsideration if we can move forward with the other items on the agenda.
Okay.
At that time.
Alderman Skransky and then Alderman Olson.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should bring up the item first and then bring it back for reconsideration. This was based on the input from the alderman at the time.
Alderman Olson.
I'm just ecstatic. I'm overjoyed by the new dam that's come in council, with everybody being concerned about Alderman Wilhelm and her feelings. I don't know what happened between the last meeting and this one, but boy, it's a refreshing new day in the city of Franklin. Read into that a lot of sarcasm, folks.
Alderman Taylor.
The deal is cooked.
Well, coming from you, Alderman Olson, I don't have to read too far into it. The thing is, Alderman Wilhelm just had an opportunity to let us know whether she wanted to serve or not. She made it pretty adamant at the last common council meeting that she wanted to know what was going to happen before she accepted this. She could have raised her hand and simply said, hey, I'll accept it either way. She didn't do that. She could have done that. I've talked to her, I think, three times today, yesterday. We haven't had that discussion, so I don't know where she's coming from. So I agree that if depending on what happens, it always can be reconsidered, and we'll go that way.
Alderman Wilhelm?
The difference was tonight there were two presentations in the packet that did give me some idea on where this might go. So that was the difference in the reasoning of being okay with the direction that it might take. I do have some questions and concerns on the items. Not sure what the outcome will be, but was willing to accept that since the mayor did bring my name forward. So.
City Attorney, did you want to say something?
Only that I believe it's in the statute that where an appointee fails to receive confirmation, normally the normal scheme of things, that's a denial of sorts. They're ineligible for the position for a year. You have very unusual circumstances here. This is not a point or not a point in a vacuum. This is in relation to whether or not that form of board will even exist. So under those circumstances, I think reconsideration would be appropriate, but I would do that this evening rather than wait for another meeting and create whatever other concerns there are with regard to this
Okay. Next item is EEB, Mark Dandria, Board of Review, First District nomination.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now I have before you the name of Ted Jurison for the Architectural Board.
So moved.
For a second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G, reports and recommendations. Item 1, ordinance to amend Chapter 15-3.0427, the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 22, Clare Meadows, to allow for and add a three-story, 30-unit, senior independent living apartment building. Mr. Deedle.
Good evening. The Plan Commission did recommend approval of this project at its last meeting. There are a number of conditions included in the ordinance. As well, there was discussion at the Plan Commission, and from that discussion, an additional factor issue was addressed, identified in the Common Council Action Sheet, and included in the draft resolution, or draft ordinance, pertaining to the payment of fees in lieu of taxes if this project would be tax exempt. And as well, there were further revisions today to that draft ordinance. I believe copies are at your seats. staff was willing to answer questions. The attorney was involved in that particular issue. But to sum it up again, staff did recommend approval with some minor conditions.
Were you here for the citizens' comment period?
Yes.
Is Mr. Schweniger here?
Yes.
He is. Okay. You can come forward if you wouldn't mind. There are a number of issues that were raised, pretty serious issues. Obviously, your name was brought up. These things did not come to the attention of the Plan Commission, I don't believe. Do you recall Mr. Beadle?
Only in a general fashion, from the standpoint of the applicant identified that their project would be applying for a Section 202 program, which is funding for very low-income senior citizens. They did identify at the Plan Commission meeting that the rest of the PDD is taxable, and the city attorney brought up the issue, the point that he had talked to representatives of the project, and they were open to the idea of paying fees in lieu of taxes.
Okay. What about all these other allegations? Or I have on here Minnesota average family residence $14,000 or all of that, or perhaps I could ask Mr. And if I could you please state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My name is Joe Schwenker, 5236 North Kent Avenue, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. One of the allegations that was broached earlier was the fact that I am not an employee of Common Bond Community, and I plead guilty to that. I am not an employee. I'm a representative of them in Wisconsin. Common Bond is a 501c3 nonprofit that provides housing for low-income people. In this particular case, by the restrictions placed on us from the financing, we cannot admit anybody who is under the age of 62. All of the units in this project are going to be one-bedroom units, so the assertion that we're going to have families in here is not true. I don't know. I really can't speak to the other allegations. There was a mention of a decision in Hales Corners. I'm not familiar with that, so I'm happy to answer any questions. We have our contractor here. We have our architect here. If there's any questions related to building, the structure, we work closely with planning staff. We were before this body probably 2 months ago talking about the concept, so happy to answer any questions.
Okay. I think, Mr. Steele, the Plan Commission, they vote 6-0 on this?
I believe so. Another point I could raise, yeah. It's my understanding that both the applicant and the alderman of the district have talked to the neighbors, and contrary to the Hales Corners project, that there were no concerns by the neighbors.
Right. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, the only concern that I had from the neighbors was the water issue, which they are going to actually deal with their stormwater area. And I actually, there was one other one, and that was the wooded area that they wanted to remain. And through the process, we found out that the easement wasn't recorded on it previously, and so now they're going to take care of that issue. And they have agreed to do the taxes for the city. That area pays, I believe it's $53,000 in taxes right now, where the sisters are and the other units. So this would actually add to that, somewhere around that
$57,000,
and so this would be in addition to what is already being paid there. One of the situations I have in my district is the larger building has seniors in it that are outlived their incomes, and they need to move out of there and move into more affordable housing, and they don't want to leave this wonderful area where the sisters are, and you know the religious part of what the sisters bring, and this provides them a way to stay near their neighbors where they've been living for a long time and within that complex but still be able to afford this. So it's an area that was long before my time zoned to have a building there. it would have been a condo building. This is the change from that, but it would still be, like he said, people elderly, and this is not as in some other areas where we've actually done rezoning of business areas to institutional or residential. We're not doing that here. We're keeping it as the zoning pretty much in a similar state where this is still elderly housing, just like what would have gone up. So I think that I'm comfortable with it. You know, in the ideal world, we would have this, you know, area that people could afford, and it would be really, you know, over the top. And it's not really the case here, but they have done very good with meeting the architectural standards of what's there. The lease, I think, provides us a little bit more control where the people that have the surrounding area, if it starts to get where they don't like what's going on, I think they have a little bit of control over making sure that they upkeep the area. And I have faith in the way they're running the situation now, and it's enclosed within that PDD, and the neighbors are okay with it. I have talked to them. I've knocked on the doors. So I will, with that, make the motion to adopt Ordinance 2011, an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0427 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan District Number 22, Clare Meadows, to allow for and add a three-story, 30-unit senior independent living apartment building, Common Bond Acquisition LLC, applicant 7704 South 51st Street.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the concept review, I made a comment that I had no problem with the building. I knew full well that it was low-income senior housing. I have no issue with that, whatever. Actually, I believe it's a needed service for the area. It provides the opportunity for some to perhaps bring their mother or their father nearer to the family when the money's just not there to put them someplace that's potentially higher service, but definitely higher cost. Given that it's a one-bedroom building, which we knew at the concept review, I see this as a benefit to the community. So I'm good with this. I'm good with this.
Anyone else wish to speak? Alderman Olson, or Alderman Taylor, sorry.
He couldn't live up
Alderman
to
Taylor.
That.
I'm taking it back, Connor. You know, I think we heard a couple, I don't want to call them accusations, but a couple of things that needed to be addressed that were, I don't think this has anything to do with the situation that happened in Hales Corners. I think we know what's already been there. This has been something that's been talked about. It was going to be condos, so we were going to have additional traffic. It's not like it's a brand new facility being popped in there. So I don't think that is the same. The issue about taxes is obviously a very important one, but they're going to be paying in lieu of taxes, which I don't think the speakers that came up during the citizen comment period knew. I don't think there's been any surprises in this entire project from the concept review on. So I think it's a worthwhile project. I think it's something that is needed. It's my understanding that you have a number of seniors right now living on site that are going to be at a point where they are not going to be able to afford to live there anymore. Once this is built, they can transition to one of these facilities. So I think the fear is that it's going to be a low-income housing for families is just asinine. So I think it's a good project. I'm glad it's here. I agree with Alderman Olson. This is something that's needed in Franklin. So I support it.
Alderman Skransky and then Alderman Wilhelm.
Yeah, I support this wholeheartedly. I think it's a matter of where these units are desperately needed. People come up and saying it's going to be excessive traffic. People in that situation are not going to. They're going to have bus service that the complex has now to take them shopping, theater, or wherever else. It's very minimal that's going to be. It fits the need of the constituents that are going to live there. Very quiet. It's not going to put any burden on that. So I'm wholly in favor of it.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm?
Just one last thing regarding the traffic issue. I've been over there several times. There's barely cars in the parking lot. And I actually wondered why they had to put so much parking in there to begin with. And most of the, a lot of the people don't drive.
Right.
So the traffic situation is not an issue.
Change the ordinance.
All right, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that the redraft before the council this evening has some changes in it. The primary one was the request of the applicant, the way I wrote it. I had all general property taxes being paid through fees in lieu. And they said, hey, wait a minute here, we didn't understand this. And this was done by agreement before the Plan Commission. They said all standard fees in lieu agreements provide just for the city share. That's because of police, fire costs, et cetera, et cetera. And I will tell you that the statute for public housing authorities tax-exempt housing does have a provision that allows for fees in lieu only for that city if it's in a city tax, not all other taxing jurisdictions. The other, so that's what we put city, general, and real and personal property, otherwise tax fees in lieu. And the other changes were because Alderman Wilhelm said she had been getting calls with questions as to why the city was subsidizing this housing, because it is described as subsidized multifamily senior independent living. So we put in the fact of it's being subsidized by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. And just finally, staff has reviewed this type of use and qualification for senior housing. The authority or the approval granted here under is limited to that senior housing. And whether or not it's tax exempt, you have to file an exemption request with the city assessor, and they'll make that determination when that time comes.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion approved. If there's no objection, I'd like to record the vote as unanimous. Seeing no objection, Madam Clerk, please record the vote as unanimous. Thank you. Now turning to item two. Request to direct engineering department staff to assist the Franklin Trails Committee in preparation of preliminary probable cost estimates for sidewalk options along South 51st Street for the Safe Routes to School Planning Grant. Mr. Bennett. Oh, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, we talked about this and decided that it would be best if we're going to try to move forward and to look at any funding in the future, we better have a cost of what it might cost us to do this. So this was, Mr. Bennett was agreeable that if we brought this to the council, that he would be willing to work with the commission to provide us some costs for a couple areas. The only thing in the motion that I think we should maybe change is instead of cost estimates for sidewalk options, it should be pedestrian access, because maybe we want to do an asphalt trail instead of just sidewalk. And so maybe make that open to either or on that wording in the motion. But
second.
That's fine.
Wait, is that your motion?
That's my motion.
And a second? All right. It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Solomon.
Got a question on the last sentence. From Pleasant View School to South 51st Street. That was not part of our Trails Committee motion.
Yes.
It was from Pleasant View to 49th Street. I don't think we need to move forward with from 49th Street to 51st Street at this time until we determine what the future development of that property is going to be.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
Actually, it was part of the discussion, and everyone agreed, and I think Mr. Bennett was there, and says, well, if we're going to do it, we could just add that on. It wouldn't be any big deal to just make that section, and why not have it? It's not like we have agreed to it or we're going to do it, but at least we could see what it might look like. And everybody said, well, why not? It's, you know, it's something that is in the master plan, and it's not a big issue. It's a couple, it shouldn't be too much more for you to just run it a little bit further, would it?
Mr. Bennett?
It was my understanding that we were going to do the cost estimate from Clare Meadows, where the sidewalk now ends, up to Rawson Avenue on the east side, and we're going to do a cost estimate on a sidewalk or trail. And maybe we should really call these things trails. because I don't know the definition between a sidewalk and a trail.
As I said, pedestrian access.
Yeah. So anyway, we would run, and we do a cost estimate on the east side and the west side, up to the, you know, I can't remember the street, but the northerly street in the city. And then they also discussed what could the engineering department make, this was the trails committee, make a cost estimate for a full extension of Marquette Avenue from 49th Street to the school. It'd be a 40-foot, just the same pavement that's in front of the school, and a cost estimate. Well, they started with that, and then they said, well, how about a cost estimate from 49th to 51st Street? And I said, well, once we do a cost estimate on a road, it's pretty easy to do both pieces. So we'd be willing to do that. That at least gives us costs on that whole area, which the city may or may not wish to do in the future, but at least they'll have a cost to look at it. So if you want to add that, we're willing to do anything the council wants, but I would suggest we not leave that piece out from Clare Meadows to Marquette extended, and that would be Pleasant View north. We should do it to get to. In fact, if we're going to use block grants, we really have to get from Clare Meadows because that's the generation of the block grant because it's low-income or elderly housing to get to the shopping center. So we would do that as a cost estimate. And we can break that down into some individual pieces that you may want to break up, a piece to maybe to Marquette Extended and Marquette Extended to Minnesota and then Minnesota to Rawson Avenue, and on the east and west side, north of that, I think we just make one cost estimate on each side, and I think that's what possibly they want to apply for safe trails to schools, safe routes to schools. But I believe that's one of the intent. They have this cost estimate so they can apply for some grants.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt?
I think Solomon. It makes sense to me, too, that it should be extended at least out to 51st Street rather than having a shortened distance and doing it piecemeal, waiting for to see what other developments come along with 51st Street, or we'll wind up with another sidewalk like we have on Oakwood Road. I think if we're going to get a cost estimate, let's do a whole thing, especially if it's, you know, with the asphalt or something to it. It would be that difficult if it ever had to be resurrected or torn up to expand 51st Street.
Alderman Solomon?
The problem with this is that you've got two undeveloped parcels, one to the north of the Marquette Extended and one to the south. What if a developer comes in, i.e. Clare Meadows comes in, and wants both parcels? You don't build a street and bifurcate two developable pieces of property. We did that in the business park and tore up the street. We look stupid. So as you move forward, you let the developer put that piece in. And or both developers, if one to the north and one to the south, are different. And you assess those costs to the developer. We did it once. I don't want to do it again.
Alderman Skransky, did you have your hand up? Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilhelm.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a side comment. Alderman Solomon, I guess I'm reading this, and this is a motion to provide a cost estimate.
Correct.
So I agree with everything you've said, but to me it's this document, this motion is just to provide a cost estimate so we can go out and potentially get some grant funding. It's not to build anything. So I frankly, I don't see any harm, no harm to follow. Do it.
That was going to be my comment. It's not, we're not asking to build it. We understand it's property, but if a developer should come in and they came in tomorrow, we could say, look, we have a cost estimate for you. And this is a road that we expected to have in and goes with our master plan, and here you go. Now we're actually ahead of the game instead of, you know, waiting and putting things off and this. You know, we always have to wait for the developer to do everything. We're actually being proactive for a change. I think that's a good move. And it's not going to be any extra, barely any extra time for him to do that. If he does one section, it's just basically taking the same cost of that section and adding it to another section. So it's, I'm ready to vote on this.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's been second. Moved and seconded. Oh, that's right. Everyone. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman
Solomon. No.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
5 ayes, 1 no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G3. Alderman Taylor.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I guess I'll start. We had a long discussion a couple weeks ago, but before I start going on that path, you know, funny thing in this city that I've learned in about 5 years living here, there's lots of conspiracy theories. There's a lot of them. Theories of what's going on, who's doing what, and we heard a little bit of a future travel gate maybe even. I don't know the details, but maybe something's coming. We'll see. That being said, I'm going to address a couple things. Since I've been here, I've brought in a number of proposals, a number of ideas. One, for example, I've heard about for the last year and a half. Wanted to make the mayor full-time. I wanted to make it for me. That's what everybody, or at least a few, think about. That's why I was trying to do that. I made my case very clear. I went on the record saying I'm not running for that job. It has nothing to do with me, but, you know, that's what happened. So back after the election, I went to the mayor and asked him, told him I would not be on the CDA. Simple reason is I've been thinking about making a change with the EDC, having to do with the CDA, for months because I've witnessed what's gone on, or at least what's been talked about and the complaints of nothing being done with the EDC. So if I then am sitting on the CDA and I bring in a proposal giving the CDA more authority, wow, maybe I'm doing it for myself. So let's just put that out there. That's the reality. It's not some, what'd you call it, Alderman Olson, log rolling or political trading. We've heard all the different conspiracies going on in the room. That's not the case. Joe, if you had a problem, you could pick the phone and call me, but you didn't. You want to make accusations, that's fine. So here, what do we do then? Where do we go from here? The EDC. It's gone away before. This isn't the first time this has happened. If you look at the resolution, it talks about the fact that there was an industrial development commission that became dormant. Kind of didn't do anything any longer. It was resurrected back in 1984 and then renamed in 1986 to the Economic Development Commission. So we've done things like this in the past, years ago. And that's what we're doing here. You know, it served a purpose. But I just don't see us functioning the way it should. So I believe there's a time for a change, and it's time to restructure, and it's time to really refocus. And one of the biggest things is, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel. It's about accountability. I know I heard, was it last committee of the whole, or at some point Alderman Olson said, we haven't had a committee come before this body in the last year. I haven't asked a committee to come forward. You're correct. Because Alderman Solomon, we sunsetted that with the last election, with his election and your election and Alderman Schmidt's election. So I didn't have that authority. If you want to give that back to me and tell me to bring in committees before this body, I'll do that. But I don't have that authority anymore. You guys took it away when you sunset it. So one of the big things in this change is putting it under the direction of the CDA, a body that doesn't really answer to us. And on item G, I'll read it. The Ford Franklin Economic Development Committee, chairman or designee, shall appear at each regular committee development authority meeting and otherwise as directed by the authority chairman to report upon activities of the committee. That's a monthly check-in with the chairman of the authority, which is the mayor. If you have a problem with the mayor, then talk about that tonight. If you have a problem with him heading the city, then bring that up. But the reality is when calls come in, they're talking to the mayor. The mayor's picking up the phone and working with the city attorney. I look at Alderman Schmidt's, which I appreciate the fact he said that I took him to task 2 weeks ago, so he's bringing in some changes. And I look at his duties. You know, the first one is addressed in under duties under E in Section 3 under Alderman Schmidt's proposal, talks about develop and implement written procedures which define the process for new business to relocate to the city. We kind of addressed that in item three in mind. We also have the ad hoc committee, which has kind of worked on processes. We're kind of addressing that one. Develop marketing strategy. That's in kind of covered in number eight in mind. And then you look at guide number three, guide potential businesses to the City Plan Commission for possible tax incentives and inducements. We've talked about incentives, and they've gone nowhere. I would support doing incentives, but this body has not chosen to allocate funding that we don't have it anyway. So that's something right there. Stay alert to grand openings. I don't know if that's how they're going to find out. Recognition banquet, that went away because of funding. We don't have the money to do that any longer. And Chamber of Commerce, I believe we're all liaisons to the Chamber of Commerce. We can go to those meetings. So I think if you take a look at what's before you, it comes down to, are you willing to put it under a different authority and take it away from us? I am, because I have confidence in the mayor and the job he's doing and the fact that he is available. Now, something Alderman Solomon said to me maybe a couple weeks ago, that this may work now. It may work for the next 3 years with this mayor, but the next mayor, it may not, because he has the time. We joke around that he's, you know, part-time. But no, he puts in full-time hours. We know that. So this would work now. Down the road, we'd have to address it. But I really think that the accountability of having a monthly check-in with another body of what's going on, and I remember when Joe came before, Haslow came before the Committee of the Whole, made a very passionate presentation. I remember writing down lead generators. I remember writing down closers. That's what you need. You get a fresh start. One alderman, not two aldermen. We've seen where two aldermen are serving, going at each other, not trusting each other. Do we want to go down that? You have one alderman, and you have some lead generators. You have a marketing person, a John Micklin, a guy that knows what he's doing. We, instead of paying somebody, we steal his time. Then you need some closers. Joe, you'd be perfect. Oh, tell him, Kristen. Go ahead. I will, too. But, if you know, I think that passion should be on there. So hopefully, if this goes, you would consider serving on that. But I think we need new energy. We need to have a different direction. And really, I said, put under a different authority where there's more accountability. And that's kind of why, you know, I brought this in. It's something I've been thinking about. And that's the rationale for me not being on CDA. I don't need to have the sit at the top of that. The mayor's the one that gets the calls. He's the one that should be able to pick up the phone and have people answer directly to him.
Just out of sheer fairness, given that we're looking at making some significant changes, I'm just wondering if we should have some discussion on this and have some discussion on G4 prior to voting on either one. Because this is a very large issue. Alderman Wilhelm?
I was going to suggest that it's very hard to talk about one without talking about the other, so I appreciate that comment. I did go through back and forth and kind of compare them, and I pointed out some of the things that were, you know, a little bit difficult for me to deal with. One of them starts on page 43, where it's under A, and it says that the purpose of the committee is to promote and enhance the City of Franklin, that's fine, to actively pursue within the goals and guidelines of the CDA of the city. And Alderman Taylor said he was fine with doing that. I'm not so fine with doing that. It cuts out the other portion of the elected officials, especially because this will eliminate even one more alderman from the committee, whereas the other one has two. So in a total between the CDA and the Schmidt one, you would have five aldermen involved. In this one, to compare, in this one you would have three. So three and four, I guess, you would have the difference. So CDA has three. CDA has one. Well, I meant from the council. It would have two people from the council, one mayor and one alderman on the CDA. And then the your proposal for the Forward Franklin would have one. So that's a total of three aldermen. So that cuts out a number of the aldermen, whereas the Schmidt one actually includes one more. So right now I'm having a little bit of a problem getting to find out about development in my district as it is without having it go on to a more restricted body where the council is not involved. And I think the people elected us up here because they trusted us to represent them and to not allow the council in on more of the decision-making seems to be less open government to me, and I'm for more open government. So that's one of the things that I have with that. The other thing goes down to B, and that's the seven-member committee, which is the same, but it says one whom shall be an alderman. Now, I hope that Alderman Taylor cannot take offense to this, but since he said he was not doing this to create a position for himself, and that was the purpose of taking himself off the CDA, I wondered who would be envisioned to sit on that new committee as that alderman. So time will tell on that. Was one of the reasons why I said, well, now would be the time to accept the position. Then there would be two people already appointed, and maybe one of the people on the Economic Development Commission could then be just switched over, and then Alderman Taylor wouldn't have to take the heat for creating a committee just for him to sit on and eliminating the other aldermanic position and having just him on it. Okay, and then one of the questions I had was, is the alderman, as included in this, also a voting member or not? I didn't see that address, and that would probably be a question for the city attorney. And I have one more question that would probably be for the city attorney. So, and who would elect the chair, and can the alderman be the chair? So those are kind of all three kind of legal questions that I didn't really see addressed. The voting member, the who elects the chair, and can the alderman be the chair are the three on that point.
City attorney?
Voting member, yes. Alderman can be the chair, yes. And as with probably nearly all the other city boards and commissions, they adopt the administrative rules.
Okay, so we would, along with this, and adopt some administrative rules that would spell out those questions.
So, every member of a board or commission is a voting member unless you say they're not. Mm-hmm. So, the alderman votes. It doesn't say anything about limiting eligibility for chairpersonship, therefore any member's eligible, including the aldermanic member.
Okay.
And with regard to administrative rules, all boards and commissions adopt them on their own, and then they bring them to the council for approval. As I recall, it's been a while since one of those did that.
Okay. Then under the duties, item E1, which is on page 44, the first duty is assist the community development authority. Now, the other one says, in the Schmidt version, it says assist the council and the plan commission. I believe that's in their original document as well. So we went from the original to assist the council and the plan commission to this new Forward Franklin assisting the community development authority and then report and recommendation to the plan commission council. So they would only go through CDA and not directly through the council. Again, that seems like less open government to me. And number two is determine a target with direction from the community development authority. This sentence feels very much like the wording that was in the Environmental Commission, where the commission was held to the T to that letter. that we couldn't put anything on the agenda unless we had direction from the council. And when I got elected, I pushed hard to change that, and we did change that. Of course, the Environmental Commission isn't what it used to be, so there was not a big fear to change that language. There was a huge fear to have that language changed when I was on that commission. But this with direction from CDA bothers me. Past history has led me to that. I'm not sure if you can get me over that because some of that past history sits pretty heavy with me. I like the section about the marketing strategy. That was one of the things that I really wanted. And that's on page 45. And then on G, on page 45, the Franklin or Ford Franklin Economic Development Committee chairman or designee shall appear at each regular CDA authority meeting and otherwise as directed by the authority chairman to report upon the activities of the committee. So now you're basically putting somebody saying, you better come forward and tell us what you're doing because we want to make sure you're effective. That's good for holding people accountable, but it's also good for making people not feel very comfortable about serving their community. And it seems a little bit harsh, and I would rather see them, if they're going to do that, to come before the entire council rather than just before the CDA because they are actually working on behalf of the entire city, and the CDA would not be representing, to me, the entire city since this council is the body that does that. Let's see. Okay, and I had a comment here that it should come before the council to keep all elected officials updated, not just a few, and the few would be the members of the CDA. So those are my comments on the side of that. The comments, maybe I made a lot of negatives, but things I didn't comment on, I'm okay with, and I made the one positive about the marketing. And I guess I'll hold my comments when we get to the other document for G4. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments on the first one? Alderman Solomon.
Yeah, I had a couple of the same concerns. Page 43, item A, the community goals and guidelines of the Community Development Authority. I realize that is the mayor, but I do believe that should be Common Council. We bring things before the Common Council, concept reviews. So concept reviews don't go to the CDA. I mean, if we're going to direct, development or concept reviews, then we should be the institution on that particular one, which is a very similar comment to what you had.
Alderman, what particular page 43 will work?
Page 43, item A, goals and guidelines of the, right now it reads CDA of the City of Franklin. It should be I feel it should be the Common Council, which is similar concern that Alderman Wilhelm had. Page 44, under E, item E1, it says assist the Community Development Authority. Now I realize that's the mayor. So, in essence, that one could stay, knowing full well that the mayor is the one that is the chair of the EDC. But when I get to item 2, determine and target with direction from the CDA, I do believe that it should also be the Common Council as we're moving forward. And Alderman Wilhelm indicated the same thing. Item G on page 45, that's where I would put some comment about the concept review. I had put that down in my notes here. The concept review should be included in that, appear at each Community Development Authority meeting. I guess that's fine, but nowhere does it say anything about a concept review, that the policy that we have right now before the Common Council. I think that process works. It gives the developer a sense and some feeling as to what our consensus is on the council. I think there should be a separate paragraph and or added, I thought, to item number G. That is the only concerns that I had, and they do parallel a couple of comments that Alderman Wilhelm had made.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Olson.
Real quickly, just to address Alderman Solomon, and I'll make some comments later. On item G, that has nothing to do with actually the concept review. The concept reviews would still come to the Common Council as they always have. What that basically is the chairman of the Ford Franklin Committee or its designee will basically put on the CDA agenda every month and show up to the CDA meeting and kind of report to what's been going on, what's been achieved, what they're working on. So if there's not a meeting, that doesn't take place. But when they do meet, like there was a scheduled meeting Thursday that's been pushed back, that would be a line item on the agenda, and that individual would show up and speak before that body or answer questions or talk about what they're working on. Let's say that one of the projects is they're working on the brochure, our city advertisement brochure. There's a committee, subcommittee group working. Mm-hmm. We got some free assistance, and they're trying to update it and spending time doing that. Bring that forward, explain to the committee, hey, this is what's going on, this is where they're at. So that's the concept review would still come to the Common Council. This is just an accountability, which right now, the EDC doesn't. No one comes from the EDC every month, and for this body, or every 2 weeks. And I think it'd be a lot less intimidating for that person to show up in front of the CDA than the Common Council. And those meetings are open to the public anyway. So,
Alderman
Olson, review would still come here.
Alderman Olson,
maybe it's just the way I think, but I've read both of these documents. I listened, of course, and participated intensely in the last committed a whole meeting, and I keep coming back to the same question. What are we trying to do? What is the problem we're trying to solve? That is the bottom line here. This doesn't solve a problem. Alderman Schmitz doesn't solve a problem. We have a problem that nobody wants to talk about, and we're dancing around the edges and doing things. I appreciate the work that the city attorney and Alderman Taylor put into this, but on top of all of this, having been a volunteer for the city before I was an alderman, having doing economic development before I was an alderman, this document really wouldn't engender anybody to really want to join the economic development committee. There's really nothing for them to do but give away their talents that they may be able to get paid for, marketing talents, whatever. We had a marketing person on the EDC. She did a great brochure for us and then got run off. Until we go making ordinance changes, we ought to come to grips with what really is the problem. And the problem was, in my view, we didn't have the right people on the commission. They were given too much focus for the time, as in the years period that they were involved in. Ken, as much as you tried hard and your heart's in the right position, Ken's not a volunteer leader. Ken's a go out and do it guy. That's not what you put in charge of a volunteer commission. You put somebody that can involve people. Ken, that's just not your personality. It's not a knock, it's just the way it is. These are the problems that you need to solve. And then you need to get the right people on the commission, narrow their tasks down, and move forward. Blowing it up when there's very few people left just is like you're throwing up your hands and you're not giving anybody, Mr. Haslow, who is the vice chair, who is now the de facto chair, you're not giving him a chance. Doesn't he deserve a chance? He's your constituent. Doesn't he deserve a chance? He's a dynamic guy, knows what he's doing, been involved for years. Instead, you're saying, doesn't count, I got a better idea. And then, with all due respect, Doug, your thing about keeping aware of grand openings, is that the kind of thing you want a potential president of a company to do as a member of your Economic Development Commission? I think not. I dug this out of the back of the alderman's room. Anybody take a look at this lately?
I need to get more hair.
You can take this picture and throw it in the trash because it'll never happen again. The Franklin Business Park and Industrial Parks all were generated through the creativity and the hard work of volunteers. who's going to volunteer at this level and this creativity for these commissions? I've had those conversations in the last 2 weeks. Hey, guys, we need to have a very serious conversation long-term about what you're doing, because this is going to send a bad signal to the development community, and it's going to send a bad... You disagree, Steve. I'll put my abilities over yours any day. My experience over yours any day.
You're so likable.
Hey.
Why don't we just try and stick to the issues?
So let's be really careful about how we're going about this. You know, there's a reason there's two aldermen on EDC. Ken and I were a check on each other. We don't go out and be friends afterwards. You're moving way too fast. I'm resisting the need to call this knee-jerk, but slow down. Think about what you're doing.
Okay. Anyone else on this item? Alderman Schmidt.
Well, after lengthy discourse, Alderman Taylor's recommendation is the duties don't really change any very much from the existing ones. He's took me to task about the economic incentives. I only said that perhaps if that is not in the commission's realm, that would be referred to the plan commission, that would be more in tune with determining if there are any economic incentives. If not, so be it. So I'm not saying that the commission should be involved in offering them. It's not something that doesn't exist. My whole intent was to try to turn the EDC into more of a marketing arm and narrowing its focus into certain things that are promotions of the city. And it seems to me that part of this has been it's been frozen up because it's been there's so many different areas for it to go to that this body has not been able to accomplish during election the last couple of years. So I just wanted to offer an alternative to that. Maybe we need to revisit this as a combination or something that there's some.
Well, I think, you know, as soon as Alderman Taylor is done, I think we'll just jump to yours, and then you can explain yours, Alderman Taylor.
Well, first off, I think I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Plan Commission look at incentives? Didn't it go to EDC and CDA?
And then at that.
And then it didn't go to Plan
Commission? Well, it came to the council.
Right, it came here twice, I believe. I mean, who cares where it dies at commission? The fact is, we're the policymakers, and it never went anywhere. Alderman Olson wanted to see, if I recall, how the Mayor Ad Hoc Committee, how that process worked. You know, being first in line, you move to the top of the list, seeing how that works before we start doing incentives. So I think that's one of the reasons. You know, we did the votes weren't here to do it. Alderman Olson's right. If you take a look at the list of people waiting to serve on boards and commissions, there's not a lot. And I don't know how many are actually asking to serve on the EDC. I mean, I know when we all get to appoint someone to the Board of Review. Alderman Olson, your member, resigned or stopped showing up months and months. It took, I don't think you ever appointed one during the worst time because either you couldn't find one or no one was willing to serve that you had asked. So I think we as elected officials need to do a better job of recruiting people with talents. Going out and finding people, because if we're going to wait for them to knock on the doors, that's not happening. Now, I know, Alderman Olson, you have talked numerous times about your displeasure with the makeup of many boards and commissions in this city. I mean, you have, and I give you credit for taking those shots, and obviously you have to serve some of those people, and they know you don't think that they're qualified, and that's an issue done that. This is the only option that gives you a clean slate. The one before us, that's an option to give you a clear, clean slate. You will remove everybody off there by doing this. That's how you will do it. And if a person like Joe Hazard wants to, who does have a passion and energy, then put it into this entity, put it into this committee. Maybe you'd be chairman.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to apologize for my passion about this. I've been doing it a long time. Where do I start? This is one of those committees, regardless of what you call it, and I'll lump CDA in this. By the way, before we start patting each other on the back about our great committees, CDA cancels 25% of their meetings. Now, EDC wasn't much, but it was a close second at 40%, but the CDA is not stellar either, nor is the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Committee, which hasn't had a meeting since November the 9th. So let's be careful about throwing stones. No. Ken's right. This committee and the CDA both need a certain level of expertise as well as passion that you don't get waiting for someone to fill out an application online. This needs to be a quiet, thoughtful, and skillful recruitment of individuals. And it's not, sorry, Tom, the pillars of the community that you want. Because just being a pillar of the community does not give you the skills and talents that you need to do the job that we need to have done on the CDA and the EDC. So my suggestion is that put all this aside, table this for 6 or 9 months, whatever, pass a resolution in support of economic development activities throughout the city through two of our boards and commissions, the CDA and the EDC. Allow Mr. Haslow his chance to make a success out of the organization. Those members who are yet to be appointed, those members who currently serve who have to be appointed will have to interview for those jobs. That would leave two people left on this. And start from scratch.
Well, let's flip to Alderman Schmitz.
Awfully quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have plenty to say. Alderman Schmitz.
Well, I don't know if there's a lot more to add. Everyone has obviously reviewed it. There's been obviously criticism of some of my suggestions. I tried to hear all the duties that I listed to try to crystallize the actual mission of the EDC as more of a marketing arm. I moved up the scale even number two and developed a comprehensive marketing strategy that includes designing and drafting promotional materials, surveys, and public relations. Such materials shall be reviewed and updated at a minimum of every 3 years, so we don't wind up passing out a booklet that relates to an economic developer who's been gone from the city for I don't know how many years. Certain things, literature needs to be upgraded, and it would seem to be an easy objective for this commission to do then if it says, well, it's time for us to review and make changes. And staying alert to grand openings. Alderman Wilhelm has talked about things open, businesses opening in her district and or wherever, and she's not even aware of things that are going on. What is so bad about having a group that's designed to stay alert to let people know that there is a groundbreaking or a ribbon cutting, and if the aldermen want to go, they should be there. It's maybe it's not the greatest thing, but it's something worth keeping out there. The amount of the membership is I've listed 7 members, so that kind of coincides with the same as Alderman Taylor's plan. Alderman Taylor has added a couple more titles to the name of it to make it Forward Franklin, so something else to try to remember. But then it's also subservient to the CDA, and I don't know, maybe we're going to wind up getting bogged down with too many people responding to too many We're having trouble even if we're talking about finding memberships. I did put in mind that the membership should involve business leaders. So I think that's what everyone is kind of striving for. People are in the business community that know what's going on and have their own grievances about how difficult it is to get approved of different businesses because of all the hoops we have to jump through. So maybe if we can recruit some business leaders, that would be a big plus. So, I understand that, having a recognition night has gone by the wayside for a few years. Well, how much do we accomplish if we just have representatives at the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce, which doesn't necessarily relate to the interests of Franklin alone because it involves several other communities. So if we have business leaders involved with this commission, then perhaps there would be some stimulus for doing something as a recognition night. So.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Wilhelm.
Real quick, regards to ad hoc committee, I think Alderman Olson, right, we haven't met since November. I think we addressed a lot of the issues, and I know we're going to schedule one based on the fact that first thing we dealt with was development issues. Now we're obviously seeing regular small businesses trying to get through the process, City Hall, and having some issues. So I think we are going to be addressing that, but we kind of wanted to see, I believe, what we put into place and see how that was working instead of meeting just to meet because everybody's time is valuable. Regarding the CDA, 25%, 25%, I can't, that is what it is. I do know we met like four times in a 10-day period, I believe, on a specific issue. Alderman Olson showed up, I think, for a couple of those meetings. So sometimes you have things going on. When not, we don't just meet to meet. In regards to a name change, I talked to Alderman Olson, I think, tipped off Rick Romano of the Journal, and then he gave me a call, and I kind of explained what my intentions were, and he thought that name change and doing things like this draws attention in a positive way. Because the people I've talked to in the business community, some of the developers, thought once again it's showing that Franklin's being proactive, and obviously what they've seen doesn't work. We had a very talented resident sit at the EDC meeting on April 25th that wants to get involved and said, there's no way I would serve on that committee. And we went out to dinner the following Friday, and he agreed with, I kind of laid out the steps, I think, how it should go moving forward, and he thought it was not a bad idea. Doing the same thing over and over, banging your head against the wall, giving it another 6-9 months, why? So 6-9 months down the road, we determined, it's not working. I think you make a change, you do something, and see what happens. I agree with Alderman Solomon, maybe making tweaking a couple of the language in that. I have no problem with that. I mean, it was the Common Council that created this CDA. So they're in your vision, they're in your eyes, before I was around. Somebody made it. So if we have a problem with how the CDA's vision is, then this body needs to change that and tweak it. But I think just to bang your head against the wall doing the same thing over and over again, that is just dumb.
Somebody else have their hand up? Alderman Wilhelm, sorry.
Well, I appreciate the work and the effort that both the aldermen have put in to try to make the changes. I want to just try to summarize, and I might get some of these wrong because I'm jumping back and forth, but I want to summarize for some of the people out there the changes that I see from the original versus what I'll call the Taylor and what I'll call the Schmidt ordinance to the municipal code. So the first one is... the change to the Taylor is the Golden Guidelines of the Common Council. That's the original. That's changed to CDA. They both change the 12 members to 7 members. The Taylor ordinance changes the code from 2 aldermen to 1. Schmidt stays the same. The term of 3 years, it eventually starts off at 3 and then rotates down and then become 2-year terms in the Steve. In the Taylor version and stays the same in the Schmidt version. And then that's Sham, that stays the same. Assist the council and the plan commission. In the Taylor version, that goes to CDA only. Determine and target with direction from the common council. In the Taylor version, that goes to CDA only. And those are the main things. So out of all of those things, the things that trouble me the most still are cutting out the common council. And every one of the changes to the original municipal code, the changes are cutting out the common council. I don't have a problem with the Schmidt, where he at least makes an attempt to say that the committee should stay alert to openings, and I've heard the comments about that's the chamber's goal, that's what they should be doing, that's their job. But roll it into serve as a liaison for the chamber, and then you are better able to stay alert. If you don't like number four, just put it into that, and that just helps us keep them connected and what's wrong with being a liaison and being more involved. I think a lot of the other communities are pretty involved with the chamber. They seem to like to stay involved with us, so we should like to stay involved with them back. That's not a bad thing. I agree with Alderman Olson that we could approach this a different way, and maybe putting this off and having some discussions with other communities isn't a bad idea. We have no huge economic thing going on. We're in challenging economic times, so unless something really big comes up, I guess the mayor is here to handle that. I know there's the rumor about what's going to be coming down the pipe, but like I said, we have a mayor here. We already have an economic development commission in place. There is still an avenue, so if we don't act on this tonight, there still can be a method to handle that. And what would be wrong with asking people to come in and give us their ideas? I just think our scope of people, look who's here, our scope of people and our ideas seem to be pretty limited. It would be nice to open it up bigger, more ideas, other communities. We could get some economic development director to come in and give us some ideas, look through this, maybe what's, you know, what, where we could make changes. But I don't see any big changes the way the economy is right now. So if we do have something that comes up, we leave it the way that it is. The mayor can assist us through that and bring it for the council. There's things that need decisions on. I would be in favor of putting this off for a little bit for more discussion.
Your Honor.
I think there's really good comments. Obviously, Alderman Bolsa and I are going to greatly disagree about appointments. I don't want to go there because we'll be spending the rest of the evening on the appointments. In fact, I think when you picked up the plaque, I saw Judy Roberts on there. I don't know what Judy's background was. Was she an alderman?
She was an alderman.
That qualified?
Didn't qualify.
But just getting to what Alderman Wilhelm brought up, and that's that, well, the mayor, if we had a big thing that came up, the mayor could just handle that issue. The thing that I've been talking about for at least a year here, if not more, is that the 27th Street Corridor Committee reports to the Economic Development Commission. The Economic Development Commission does not report to the mayor. It reports to the Common Council. And what I've been saying for well over a year is that in the case that the economy would pick up and got back to where you were, that I may have to call special meetings of the Common Council daily. And I just don't feel that I have my arms wrapped around this, because the true reporting relationship is to the EDC. Now, that's okay, too, because I think something else that did come up tonight and goes to the appointments, I probably should have thought of this a long time ago. given that the EDC is a direct report to the Common Council, I'd be more than happy if each alderman, like they do with the Board of Review, made their recommendations for appointment to the EDC. Or the Franklin, what is it, the Franklin Committee? Franklin, Forward Franklin Economic Development Committee. So I'm fine with that. You do make appointments, recommendations for Board of Review. I think your recommendations are terrific. That's if you want to keep the Economic Development Commission in place. This is not a new subject at all. You might remember that Mayor Bolander joined us, I don't know, it seems like a year and a half ago or longer, and we talked about joint CDAs. We talked about the creation of a separate entity for the management of 27th Street. In the city of Oak Creek, which I hear about all the time with their economic development boom, that's all under the CDA. They don't have an EDC. Now, I think some of the confusion in here from what I'm hearing from the aldermen, the responses, is that there's a real negative feeling about the council not being involved, or that the CDA would be a separate authority on all issues. I don't think it has to be that way. I think that for the business park, you have it's totally under the CDA. But I believe in Oak Creek, the CDA also has a function of reporting directly back to the Common Council. So if the issue is lack of control, all you need to do is determine those times when there's like blight determinations or the building of a business park or et cetera, and have that totally under the CDA. And for all other items, call it economic development, it would be a direct report back to the Common Council. I am hearing that there are, I don't hear consensus actually on either proposal. I think they're really well thought out, both of them. We do have to come to some conclusions as to how we're going to do business here. Not personalities, not emotion, not he did this and she did that. It's how are we going to do the business of economic development? And, one of the things that we found out with the 27th Street Corridor Committee, it was kind of put together in a handshake manner. A couple of mayors got together, a couple of members of the Oak Creek CDA, and some of the members from EDC and CDA, and it was sort of like, can we work together, and then who's in charge and who isn't, and it's all over the board. I mean, it's, and that's not a good thing when you're dealing with 6 miles of corridor and potentially spending tens of millions of dollars along that corridor. I mean, right now, you as the Common Council are going to have to make all those decisions regarding streetscape, whether there should be roundabouts, no roundabouts. Should you have the businesses involved? I personally think you should. But do you have the time to be here around the clock to once this thing, if it takes off again? I don't think you do. And it's really not under my jurisdiction. It's under yours. So that's, I guess the bottom line with me is it seems to work in Oak Creek very, very well. I think their tax base is like 60-40, and it's all under the CDA, and everybody gets along. If the aldermen wish to make their appointments, fine, I'll work with whoever you give me. That'd be great. You do a great job with the Board of Review. I have no pride of bringing names forward for the Economic Development Commission. But I think you gotta. We've been talking about this for a long, long time. And Joe is out there. I guess I just found out that Joe is the ad hoc chairman. It's a kind of a good thing.
The elected chairman.
elected chairman.
Vice chairman.
Yeah, and Joe's a very, very bright guy. I know that. Now, I think I made a pretty good appointment there. But
I think Fred Clemens made a good appointment. Or, no. Yeah, Fred Clemens. Mm-hmm. With all due respect.
I thought that I've made, reappointed you. I did. Yes, I did. And all right. So with that, I think maybe I'll leave it up to Alderman Taylor, but I think that there are some very good suggestions that have been made to your proposal. And I think that some of the things that Alderman Schmidt brought up have relevance. The thing with the ribbon cutting ceremonies, that was taken over by CCUB for the most part. Now, I think at one time the EDC used to handle all of that. Is that true?
In the business part.
Just for the business part. Okay, so then it's never really handled ribbon cuttings and all that. But I do think that's very, very important. And sometimes I don't get notifications from CCUB as to when they're putting on ribbon cutting ceremonies. So with that, I think that maybe a little bit more time is needed. I don't say 6 months, but something less than that, even sooner. I'm hoping the economy is going to turn around. And if it does, this is going to be very, very difficult to manage. One last thing is we did have an economic development director that we paid well over $70,000 or $80,000 a year, right? And then prior to that, we had a person, Stan Kazmatka, who CDA picked up half the tab and the city picked up half the tab. Well, we don't have that. So right now, it's the current staff that's handling all of the issues that used to be handled by a person making $80,000 or $90,000 a year. With that, are relinquished for? Alderman Taylor?
Right, Your Honor. I guess one thing I want to address, Alderman Wilhelm, she did a very good job of kind of going back and forth between both proposals. The one issue that I do have an issue with is that you've said a couple times this evening, cutting out the Common Council. I don't understand that. I really don't. Because every single city meeting is open to the public, open to us. And when you have closed door at CDA, you were included. Alderman Olson was included. Alderman Skronsky was in the closed door. So there's not like there's these closed door meetings. They're going to be publicly noticed like anything else. I don't believe that any alderman is going to be left out. Then you got to take a look at, okay, who's kind of the chair, the mayor. Alderman Salmon, if you have any problem getting in touch with the mayor and asking him to put something forward, or you have a concern or that, I haven't in 3 years. And so it's not like we have this person sitting in an ivory tower removed from everyone else and that no one can get a hold of. He has a cell phone that he answers. Maybe sometimes he's busy in a meeting and gets back to you later that day, but he's not on a call 24/7. So I don't think that we're ever really going to be cut out, so we can attend, we can know what's going on. I think we have some accountability that we don't have now, reporting purposes. And I just go back to the fact that we have been talking about this a long time. We have seen that the EDC has not really accomplished much lately. We went to the meeting where the members throwing up their hands saying, "What do we do?" So I just don't believe in. And continuing to beat your head against the wall. So I'm going to make a motion to basically adopt an ordinance, the one that I brought in, with a couple minor changes that Alderman Solomon mentioned regarding, I think, changing where it said Community Development Authority, or Alderman Wilhelm also, where it said Community Development Authority to Common Council. I think there was two locations. I'm hoping that on item G that you're okay with the fact that the concept review still comes, that nothing changes there, just the fact that it's all it is the reporting mechanism from that forward committee to the CDA. And so that's going to be my motion, making those changes, because I think we got to do something. I think just going back and saying, well, let's give time is wasting time. And I don't think we have that time to waste. I think we should focus on marketing. I think we should focus on, I mean, once again, talking about incentives if that's what they want to do. But I really think if you look at marketing and you look at retention, why aren't we talking to businesses, our current businesses, and finding out how they're doing, why they're struggling, if they're struggling, what we can do to help. So, ribbon cuttings are great. Chamber of Commerce events, they're fine. You can go to the website for that. All you got to do is check the website. All that stuff's posted. We get emails anytime there's an event, and sometimes things do go to the mayor, and it's just to him. And I guess he could call up, pick up the phone, Your Honor, maybe next time say, hey, do you mind if the aldermen come along too? It would be good. I mean, I don't think you have a problem doing that, do you?
No, but many times the calls I get, it's not an open invitation. It's their party.
I mean, perfect example is we had an Eagle Scout presentation tonight. I'm the alderman of the district. The only reason I wasn't never invited. None of us were invited. The only reason I went was because the mayor couldn't go. There's been other Eagle Scout events that, here's a kid that did a hell of a project. It should be commended. You think you'd want to go and show someone from the city that we're not notified. So that stuff does happen, and we just got to get away from that. We're trying to cut people out. So my motion, we're making those minor changes that Alderman Solomon, Alderman Wilhelm brought in, and I think we give us a shot and see what happens. We get some fresh blood in there, and not all fresh. I think Joel would be an outstanding to keep him, because anybody that comes up here spends this kind of time sitting through these meetings with the passion that he does. And if he says no, I'm going to take my toys and go home, that's his choice too.
Did you make a motion?
That's my motion.
Madam Clerk, is there a second to the motion? Motion fails for a lack of a second. Alderman Solomon.
I think it's premature tonight to jump on this. I think it's done very well. They were both had some positive points. I'd like to see this come back after further discussion. I do believe we don't have a meeting. Do we have, when's the next committee of the whole meeting, Sandy? Do we have one? June, we have one?
Sixth.
I'd like to see this move to another session of the committee of the whole, and then move forward. We can get a consensus there for further discussion.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
I don't know if this is appropriate. I make a motion to suspend the regular order to allow Vice Chairman Haslett to speak.
Okay. We do have a motion on the floor, but I think that's fine. Is there a second to suspend the regular order of business to allow Chairman Haslett to speak?
Basil Ryan, too.
And Basil Ryan? Is that your motion?
Sure. Basil thinks he's my pastor. He likes to argue for 2 hours. I'll give him 5 minutes.
He wants three. He gets three.
All right.
I'll accept it.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
You're first this time, Basil. Okay.
Three.
The comment I just had is you guys keep talking, and obviously Alderman Solomon knows it. That conceptual review came from a bitter fight.
Basil, would you mind taking the microphone so you get on the tape?
Again, that was a bitter fight that we had to take from them. That wasn't given to us. We took that from CDA, and they fought us everywhere. When I keep hearing giving CDA that control that the Common Council doesn't have, we went down that road years ago as a Common Council. And I can tell you that we had many problems because those people were appointed, and some of them had 5-year terms. And some of them looked at you and said, you're only here for 2 years or 3 years. I'm here for 5. So we ended up taking a lot of stuff, giving it back to the staff. And from what I hear tonight, it's working real well. The only other comment that I will say, don't forget, it was an elected official who stopped a trucking terminal from going into that business park, who was outvoted, and the only tool he had was to simply abstain. There was no vote, and to this day, you have two buildings that generate a lot more taxes than that trucking terminal and is a better spot for that. Had it not been for that elected official who listened to the constituents in the area and what they want, you'd have a trucking terminal that would that have all kinds of traffic, three shifts a day, and that. So keep in mind, elected officials have to have control.
Mr. Haslow?
He had a minute to go.
Put that in the record.
Thanks, Basil. I appreciate that. Okay, so as I'm listening to you all, I'm not going to belabor the same stuff I said. The issue here for me is, first off, I do believe that consolidation under the CDA is a mistake. You need to keep this up on the council. Secondly, Alderman Olson, who has the courage to talk about the stuff he wants to talk about, is correct. I may not be the right set of skills and abilities for the Economic Development Commission. I might be the right one. Like I said, I'm a deal closer. I'm a guy that gets stuff done. I can get things done through people. Part of the problem has been when we get projects that are going to the EDC, they don't finish. We have people who are volunteers, but there isn't a case where we're driving through to finish. I've been on several. I've been liaisons for businesses in the community. I've gotten it done. Had projects when we had to recommend for zoning in the southeastern quadrant of the city with myself and Ted and a couple of other people. We got it done. In other cases, not done. And then it's just, okay, well, it's fine. We'll talk about it next time. We'll talk about it next time. There's an information void. It comes in. How? Well, we had Ken talk about things. We have a few things that get chatted through, and then we sit and we don't do anything. So I'm an action-oriented person, fed up to the gills, as you can tell. I care, but, you know, I miss, you know, teaching my kids social studies tonight to be here because I care. I care about the city. I think this is the best place in the, you know, state to live. It's a wonderful place. But, guys, you're not going to get somebody on Alderman Taylor's proposal. I'm not going to sit and I'm going to take my toys and go home. You know why? Because it's pointless. I have way too many other things to do in my life than to go and sit on a committee that's not going to be effective, subordinate to the CDA, to do I don't know what. Either let's do something with it or not. Your call. But from my standpoint, you know, I'm either going to go and do something helpful or I'm not going to play because I got way too much other stuff to do with life, as we all do. Okay, so you can't have it be something where you're going to want business leaders who are going to be heavily invested and have the skills. You want somebody who's got a marketing degree? I got one of those. Want somebody who's built a plant? I've done that. Want somebody who's run a big division? Done that. Want somebody who's been a CFO? Done that. So I've done a bunch of stuff. There are a lot of other people who have too, but they're not going to take their time for a committee that's going to waste their time. And the structure isn't the issue, folks. Not the whole thing. Part of it's membership, passion, caring, skills. Deal closers and generators. Need a lot of generators. I'm not that. They're out there. I got to tell you, I've talked to four people. They don't want to volunteer because, you know what, they make a pile of money and they're going to spend their time doing other stuff. One out of the four might reconsider. Me. I don't know. Okay. Thanks for your time.
Joe, I do have a question.
Yeah.
Currently, the structure is 12 members.
Yep.
Think it should get cut down?
Yeah. Yeah, I said that last time.
Okay.
Seven feels right-ish. The reason that 12 is too many is because by the time you have this amorphous blob of too many people, you get tied up in too much. The point of the matter is you got to be nimble enough to get things done, but you can't have so few that if you don't have enough people, you can't get things done, right? There's a magical number. I don't know what the right one is, but 7 plus or minus 2, right? They always say that.
Do you have any objections if the alderman were to make recommendations for appointments?
No, I don't. I think that the idea that Alderman Olson had, though, was to have a discussion. I talked about this in the Committee of the Whole, I believe, is from the standpoint of pre-qualifying and validating, it not just not be the alderman. There ought to be a sit-down and talk about what the person's going to bring and what they're not going to bring. Actually, for the highest caliber, people are going to want that because they're not going to want to be surrounded by somebody who's not going to pull their weight and do their work. Sorry, I don't want to play. I got more stuff to do with my time than to sit around and talk. So
duties of the EDC.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it, it's actually, I think there's three: retention, recruitment, and promotion of the city.
For me, it's number one: drive non-residential tax base of high quality. Number one. What does that mean? That is recruitment. And it is getting people in and closing the deal.
Retention, though a good idea and necessary, especially in hard economic times, isn't filling the tax rolls for the residents of the city and for the existing businesses. Right? You still get taxes on stuff. Bad as it sounds, because I'm in a family that has a vacant building, but the point of the matter is it doesn't build taxes. What it does is good quality value per square foot brought in and making something better. So I'm all about believing in what we talked about years and years ago and the proposals that came in from various consultants that said we have a disparity. Too much residential, we don't have enough business. The type of business we need is quality business.
So follow through on Tickner and Frankenfurt?
Absolutely. I mean, I was the reason why, Tom, if you recall years ago, that I was so up in arms about a freight terminal back by my house was it's bad for the city. The price per square on this is bad. Same reason why I opposed a baseball diamond. It's not a now or later thing. It's an eventual thing. But a baseball diamond, as much as I love it, it's a great amenity for the city, does not provide enough price per square on a great piece of dirt in the southeastern quadrant of the city. We can get a pile of money for that from a tax base standpoint. But once we build it, no one's going to redevelop it. We're a baseball diamond. The political incentives aren't there. For Pete's sake, I'm going to be the company that's going to come in, trash a baseball diamond for all the families in the city? I'm going to be the one with that stain on me. I've built factories in a new greenfield operation. There's no way I would touch that politically. That is a hot potato I would never get near. Talk about being hated as soon as you walk in the door, for Pete's sake. No chance. So the talk about that could be redeveloped, that's garbage. So anyway, that's an EDC thing from months ago. Thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you. Is there a motion to return to regular order of business?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, what about if we take the Board of Review appointment concept for each alderman and then give those appointment people the three versions of the ordinance, the original, the Taylor, and the Schmidt version, and let them bring forward to us what they can do to work together as a committee.
Alderman Olson?
Well, I think Kristen deserves a response, but let me offer another suggestion in the middle here. It would be difficult for any of the aldermen to go out and recruit somebody. They may have a friend. Let me finish. They may have a friend that they think they want to have serve. But you got to provide a guideline as to what qualities you're looking for in an individual to serve on the Board or Commission. And until that happens, you know, you may have a friend who sells cars. Well, God bless him, but if he doesn't know who to pick up the phone, if he doesn't have any contacts of C-level executives, I mean, is that the best choice? I appreciate you shaking your head. No, that's my point, Steve. So my suggestion is that perhaps Joe and I and the mayor can sit down and we'll work out a guideline. Not job description, not personality profile, just a guideline of what we need for this commission.
Alderman Solomon?
I agree a little bit with Steve, Alderman Olson on this. Picking one from each district, I don't think is the correct answer. They may all come from one district. So everybody selecting an individual doesn't make common sense. As we move forward, we need to put quality of the commission above all else. And I did look for the not only the membership, but it's got to include the passion. And if the passion's not there, then we're wasting their time as well as our time. So I think that's the key. Do they want to belong?
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I didn't say that appointments had to come from that alderman's exact district. I think it would be open up to the alderman, even if they had to go outside the community to pick someone. One, if they're qualified. And when I asked to have my appointments to the Board of Review, I sent out to quite a few people that I knew, had them come back to me, asked them lots of questions, found out what they knew, what they didn't know, and then selected based on that. It wasn't just like, oh, you're my friend. These people I didn't even know. And I think that the clerk has said that those appointments that I've made have been good appointments. So apparently I do have some sense in picking what someone can do. I think the guidelines are a great idea. But I don't see why the alderman can't go out and look for people to put on there, and citywide or, you know, outside the city, if they're qualified, why not? So don't limit it to right inside the district. Set up the guidelines. But it would be one way to do this. We seem to have a problem on who's going to be sitting on this committee all the time. And we're never happy with who's there. This way, you can't be happy or unhappy if you're putting your own person on. At least you've got one person on there that you're happy with. And
well,
I don't. Well, then make it, you know, a 1 year revolving term or something. Then, you know, if you don't like them in a year, you can have a chance to change them. I don't know.
Alderman Olson.
Well, I suggest that perhaps we're overthinking this, and requiring an alderman to bring forward a name may not be the best solution to the problem. If you have a name, bring it forward, regardless of where it is, who it is. The motion on the floor, I believe, is just to table this to the committee of the hall.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it passed.
Well, did it?
No.
It didn't? Okay. Dude, it's been so long.
Let's make it pass.
All right. All those in favor of the motion that's on the floor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
That's item 3 and 4 for table.
Item 3 and 4, yes.
Madam Clerk, was that the motion?
Actually, the motion was not specific to... it was the restructuring of the Economic Development Mission Process Administration, which would have been item 3.
It's nothing that prevents either alderman from bringing back their own proposals, or anyone, right? Any at all? You want to have any?
I have a follow-up. I have a follow-up motion, and I want to check with the city attorney first. I would move to reconsider the appointment of Alderman Wilhelm to June 7th for an agenda item.
Second.
Changing the motion. The motion was to confirm.
Reconsider and just table it.
Yeah. Right. You could reconsider. I believe you can reconsider the motion to confirm her, put her on the economic.
That's my point. Can I do that June 7th?
Mr. City Attorney, who's also a parliamentarian.
And who is the prevailing side? Sorry, Jesse.
I haven't thought of that.
3-3.
I would suggest a motion to reconsider made at this meeting, and I would suggest that the easy answer on who's the prevailing side. Probably those who voted no, and that the original motion would be back before the common council, and that the second motion that occurred to table that main motion to the first meeting.
So if you voted in negative, you could ask for reconsideration of that.
I will move for a reconsideration of the appointment of Alderman Wilhelm to the EDC.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
I moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now,
move the table to the first.
No, I believe the motion of Alderman Wilhelm to the Economic Development Commission is now in front of you.
Oh, we got it.
So I put in the name of Alderman Wilhelm forward for appointment to the Economic Development Commission.
So Alderman. No, Mr. Mayor, move the table to the first meeting in June.
Second.
All right. The motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Didn't need a roll call vote on that, do we? All right, moving on. Item G5, ordinance to amend Chapter 210 signs and billboards to allow for monument signs on certain commercial properties where the building is closer than 30 feet from the property. Mr. Liberto.
This simply makes a minor change to the sign ordinance that allows for monument signs where the building is close to the property, but there is space within the property on either side of the building, such that the sign wouldn't conflict. In a specific example, it does address, it came to our attention with a sign requested by Dental Associates that would be appropriate, but existing language didn't provide for it, and staff didn't believe that existing language intended to be an obstacle in this instance. So we put together this ordinance correction.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I meant to call you on this, Mark, when I saw it on the agenda. Yeah. This was kicked off because of a development in my area, and I tried to go to the meeting when this was on the Architecture Review Board and was told that, I said, are they coming in? They're like, we don't know what you're talking about. So here's just another example of something that's coming forward that involves something in my district that I had no idea that this was even going on, that there was even an issue with their sign. So could I please be better in the loop when things are happening? That would be appreciated. Thanks.
Okay. Anything further? I have. Is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2011-, an ordinance to amend Chapter 210 signs and billboards, specifically Section 210-4.C.5(d), paren 3, to allow for monument signs on certain commercial properties where the building is closer than 30 feet from the property line.
So
moved. Is there a second?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Item G6, Director of Finance, Treasurer, Succession Planning, including amending a job description, authorizing advertising. Advertising for a Director of Finance and Treasurer, and directing the Director of Administration to prepare a job description for a Chief Financial Officer and related proposed employment agreement revision. Mr. Roberta.
At your chairs this evening is a subsequent or follow-up memo from me. This item was before a joint meeting of the Finance Committee and Personnel Committees last evening. At the beginning of the memo, it indicates the two motions that were made. Personnel Committee made a motion to adopt option number 5 in the original memo that I prepared, but that the transition period be no more than 1 year, and that the incumbent or that the individual coming in would come in with the full managerial responsibilities, which was different than the recommendation to the committees. And then the Finance Committee recommended that the Common Council pursue option number 4, which moves the current Director of Finance and Treasurer to a CFO position, which would be a part-time role to allow them to then supervise and mentor a new Director of Finance and Treasurer who would come in for a transition period. And their motion had that for a period of 1 year with a possible adjustment of 6 months either way, depending upon the circumstances. The last page of the memo that I provided today takes those motions and says, if you're going to pursue either the Finance Committee recommendation or the Personnel Committee recommendation, what would be the actual individual action steps or motions and direction that you give staff so it can move forward. On that last page, I also put forward my recommendation, which follows very closely what the Finance Committee's recommendation is, except slightly alters the term for a period of 1 year with possible adjustment for 6 months either way, to make it a little more holistically cover some of the discussion that they had relative to you don't really know what term you want for that transition period until you really see who you have in that job. And then the desire to potentially have access to the incumbent on a contract basis for specific individual projects that the Common Council may decide to pursue. So I provided some language there at the very end, number one, that you could substitute in finance that just gives us direction that would make that contract cover each of those options a little more thoroughly, but still restrict the initial transition term to the 1 year.
What was the vote of the two committees?
Personnel committee, I believe, was it was a voice vote, and so it's hard to tell, but it appeared to be 6-1 with one person not voting. And then the finance committee, I believe, was 4-0.
Okay.
I think the one vote was
Alderman Wilhelm.
I think there was a one no vote on personnel.
Yeah, 6-1 with an additional one not voting.
I appreciate this work, but I'm not one to vote on something unless I have a chance to read it. And I know you summed it up, but I like to hang on every word, read every word, make sure I don't miss anything. So unless we want to recess so I can take the time to read almost three pages.
I'll make a motion to take a 10-minute break.
All right. Just motion to. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
And 10 minutes not.
We can come back to order. Alderman Schmidt, here he comes. All right, we've returned from break. All six aldermen, mayor, back. Session. Mr. Liberta, I believe we are on item six.
Yes. So if you'd like, I can go through the details of the proposal, but I know between finance and personnel last night, five of the six members were able to go through much of the discussions, and I did. So I did have a conversation with Alderman Skaronski today so that he would have some opportunity to look at the initial proposal and understand where they were. The added memo I provided today, it was just to make sure you had the recommendations of the two committees. And I did provide some additional explanation as to the basis for my recommendation, which largely concurs with finance, that I believe the structure works better and more effectively if you follow with the finance committee approved with the one slight modification that I suggest at the end to how you'd actually structure the term in the employment agreement.
Okay.
Answer the questions, ma'am.
Alderman Solomon?
Well, I'll kick it off. I'll make a motion to accept the Finance Committee's recommendation and pursue the alternative number four with a transition term for a period of 1 year with a possible adjustment of 6 months either way, depending upon the circumstances.
Second.
As we move forward, Mr. Mayor, I think the comment by one of the Finance Committee members last night towards the end of the meeting kind of summed it all up. Until we advertise for the candidate, until we find out what that candidate, he or she, brings to the table, the transition period could be 3 months. I mean, it could be 6 months. So I like the adjustment of 6 months either way for a 1 year possible adjustment. The scenario would be, and I have mentioned this to people after the meeting last night, that if we get somebody with the capabilities that the incumbent has, the transition period shouldn't be that long or that difficult. The scenario is the timing is a little bit messed up because of the budgetary commitments that we have towards the month of August, September timeframe. We'll be right in the middle of the budget for 2012, so there's going to have to be some type of an overlap. I wouldn't put somebody into that position, you know, to start from scratch or start over. So as we move forward, I'm open to other suggestions.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Olson.
Yeah, as I talked with Mark about this later this afternoon, I agree with the Finance Committee's and now with Alderman Solomon's. I do agree with that. I think it's going to be very important that it's a smooth and orderly transition. We've got the best finance man and treasurer here right now, and for somebody just to jump into this and say, okay, I'm going to take it over and not have his assistance and follow through with all the intricacies that are there are going to be very difficult. Even if he does come from another community, each community is different. Each one has its own unique stuff. So I agree there should be an orderly transition. Cal should be on and to make sure these things happen. And at the end of that time, if the 6 months are not needed, fine. Then you make that firm decision, and based on what Cal's decision is going to be, and you move forward on it and continue. But then it's very important to have that smooth transition. There's too many things that could fall through the cracks, and you don't need that.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
I guess the comment was, you know, jump into this, having someone just be hired and jump into this. That's what I've done in every job that I've ever been appointed to, is I've never had someone mentor me through something, especially for 6 months, let alone 3 months or even 3 weeks. It's like, we hire you on your qualifications. Here it is. Go do it. You have a question? Come back to us. Can't handle it? You're out of here. I mean, that's the way the jobs that I've been given in the past. So I don't know, maybe there's some other workforce out there that I'm not aware of, but this mentoring issue, if our books are in order, there will be some learning curve, but 6 months, a year, it seems an awful lot of time to be paying another person, maybe a few months, as Cal would be part-time. But the bigger thing that I have a problem with, and, you know, this isn't any reflection on Cal, this is any employee. I would be saying the same thing on this. Of course, I don't know, with clerk, she'd be really hard to replace. Maybe I wouldn't be saying that for her. But shouldn't we know, as an employer, a sort of an expected date of retirement? I feel like we're kind of being held hostage a little bit. And it would make it a lot easier for us to make a decision if we sat down with him and said, look, lay out what your retirement plan is so we can have a better hiring timeline and we can start looking and we can start planning. But right now, I haven't heard when this is going to happen. And maybe someone has an answer, but it's sort of could be this, could be that.
Well, if you remember, I said if you're going to pursue either of the committee's recommendation, you really need to do all the steps under that one. So your motion includes number one on page three, but you also need to do two, three, and four. And number three says authorize human resources to advertise for director of finance and treasurer following appropriate notice of intent for the director of finance. So we're not going to run out and do it until that's taken care of. It also, in number four, says that we bring back to you at your next meeting what amendment to his current employment agreement would look like to accommodate this, and I imagine that will take care of that issue very, very clearly.
So.
So if the motion is either amended to include 2, 3, and 4, or a subsequent motion covers 2, 3, and 4, I believe your concerns will be addressed, and we're not rushing out and advertising for something, but the natural progression of these events, if they would occur, will take place, and then on June 7th, you'll
run me through the scenario of the Finance Committee's 1, 2, 3, and 4 verbally. Run me through it. Without looking at it, run me through it. You know, just, this is this, it would go like this, go ahead.
In order to advertise, we need to have an amended job description so that it is properly identified who the person would report to. Mm-hmm. The original memo provided specific language amending just the reporting section of the current job description so that it still reports to the mayor, but if there's this extra CFO position, which is a part-time temporary one, it'll be written up that way, then they will report to that person. So that gives us the language built into our personnel structure to accommodate this transitionary status. And once that transition term ends, then the existing job description doesn't have to change because it says reports to the mayor. So that's the first step. Over the, if you approve those for tonight, then one of the things you're telling me to do is go meet with Cal and work out something. That, because anything we do has to be mutual agreement. I imagine in that discussion is where I will have a work with Cal, where I will ensure that he provides me appropriate notice of his intent to retire, meaning something specific, so we can incorporate that change, his willingness to continue to serve as half-time instead of just plain retire, because that's an opportunity he's affording us, not just something we're doing for him. I perceive that as an opportunity he's offering to the city. So we will incorporate that into an amended employment agreement that we come back to you for your consideration at your next meeting. That would also give you the proposed job description for that position, because as an organization, we'd like to have job description. I'm tying those two together because the job description, depending how it's written and referenced, also effectively becomes that scope of services for that position. So those two are pretty closely tied. If a duty is referenced in the job description, I don't have to put it in the employment. So the two of them go sort of hand in hand.
See, that's the part where you're talking about after we do this, then we'll get his intent. And to me, that should come first. I mean, he's got to know. He's a finance officer. He has to know what his finances of his own life are, see if he can afford to retire, you know, his own health conditions. You kind of sort of, when you're at this point, you would think you would kind of have a decision or would have an idea. And why wouldn't we want to have that up front so we could better position ourselves instead of hiring someone temporary and then, you know, it just doesn't, it seems so backwards
to
me.
You will have it very specific, and I guess I respectfully disagree with you. It isn't backwards. What we're doing is aligning the fact that we have two people who have to mutually agree. So he's given us intention that, hey, you know, this is one of the opportunities that was built in my current contract that says I can do this and I'm willing to do this. So now we're asking you to give me some conceptual guidance that, yes, you're willing to entertain that. Let's go off and move forward that way. And 2 weeks from now, I'm going to do my job and work out with Cal very specific details that align with very specific details for you. And at your next meeting, you can decide whether or not everybody's got specific mutual agreement.
And
just like labor, when we do a labor contract, sure. I come to you in closed session, you guys give me guidance on what to do. Then I go off and I negotiate a labor contract. And then I bring it back to you in a final TA form and say, here's what we worked out. Is it okay? And that's really what you have going here, that same sort of thing.
Well, if I vote on the motion here, you have a possible transition term period of 1 month with an adjustment, 6 months either way. So that's a year, 1 year with 6 months either way, is a year and a half or 6 months.
And
so
it's going to be how I anticipate writing that. I mean, this was Finance Committee's motion that you made and you voted for. So how I interpret that is it's going to be set as a one-year term with the Common Council having the option to shorten that up to 6 months. So you hire somebody, they're in here 3-4 months, you're realizing this is working great.
And if you remember when I voted for it, I said I'm voting for it only because I'd rather be voting on the other side of the table, but that wasn't the committee I'm on, but I wanted to bring both options to the table, so I was willing to vote for it. I still think that's too long of a transition time for us when we have financial problems to be carrying out 2 employees. And so, I mean, if Cal wants to stay on for a year, then he should just stay on for a year. But to carry through 2 positions, I don't know why we would do that. That just puzzles me. I guess I'll let someone else speak.
Alderman Olson?
I'm going to take one kick of the cat. This is what I talked last night. You know, if you ever wonder why we don't get things done in this city, this is a prime example. We got a guy retiring, potentially, that we don't know for sure. We don't know when. We don't know what, you know. And now we're going to build a camel on what should be a horse. We want to provide a transition period, which is, I think, responsible. But now we're doing it for up to 18 months to help transition. That implies some. And we're doing this all in a bad economy when we've got a budget that is now at a zero levy increase for the next 2 years at 1.5% the next 2 years after that. This is just stupid. I'm sorry. If Cal wants to retire, tell us when you're going to retire. We'll hire somebody. They'll be in the job. Cal will contract you for 3 months, maybe more, but 3 months, and move on. Now we're going to have 2 positions. One reports to the other, but the guy that he's reporting to is part-time. It's just, no, I'm sorry, folks. This is just silly.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I made the motion last night, and it was 1 year, give or take 6 months on either side, and we talked about it, and that's not in here.
Yeah,
it says 1 year with an option, not a bag for 6 month extension. On page 2, that's what it says. So I'm reading black on the bottom.
Get to the last page.
All right, so then here's the deal. If you take a look at the first page on the bottom, I'll read this first couple sentences. The position of Director of Finance and Treasurer is a complex job with a very heavy workload. The city, for example, has TIF districts, utilities, multiple of its own pension plans, self-fund health insurance, and OPEB trusts. Many municipalities have none of these added financial issues. So either we're going to find the perfect candidate that can do everything, or we're not. We're going to have to then contract some of this stuff out, which is going to cost us money. And I think we need to find out the candidate before we really know what the term is, whether it's 6 months, a year. But the way I look at this is this is a $36 million life insurance policy. If you think about it, that's our budget. That's everything right there. And we're ensuring the financial well-being of the city. We're making sure we have someone making sure that things move in the right direction. Now, maybe it is only 6 months. Maybe it's a shorter period of time. We need to know the candidate. First thing, Dennis Cicci last night said, we got to know the candidate. But to just, we could just drop it in one person's hand and hope for the best. That's an option. But is that a good one? You got to take a look at what's going to cost if you don't pick a person that will be able to do all these responsibilities from day one. Well, you're going to contract these roles out. You're going to spend additional funding. And we don't have that money either.
Okay, I got a motion on the floor, I believe. It's been seconded.
Roll call.
Any further discussion? There's a request for roll call.
Repeat the motion, please.
Madam Clerk, you please read back the motion.
Alderman Solomon, seconded by Alderman Skronsky, move to approve the Finance Committee's recommendation with an amendment to the first item to pursue alternative number 4 of the May 13th Director of Administration's memo with a transition term for a period of 1 year with a non-automatic option for a six-month extension upon mutual agreement of the incumbent and the Common Council with the possibility for early termination after 6 months and with pre-established terms for limited hourly-based consulting following termination of the transition period.
Okay, there's been a request for a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Alderman Olson.
No.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky?
Aye.
4 ayes, 2 noes, ayes have it, motion carries.
Mr. Mayor?
Alderman Solomon?
Mark, do you need me to move on item number 2, 3, and 4 also?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Clerk?
It was included in your original motion because that is part of the Finance Committee's recommendation. I'm sorry, not 2, 3, and 4 on here.
Okay. Move to amend the job description for Director of Finance and Treasurer, changing the reports to requirement as noted above, and to authorize the Human Resources to advertise for a Director of Finance and Treasurer following appropriate notice of intent from the Director of Finance and Treasurer, and to direct the Director of Administration to submit to the June 7th Common Council meeting a proposed amended employment agreement between the City of Franklin and Cal Patterson and a proposed job description of Chief Financial Officer.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Roll call.
Request for roll call. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Sound.
Aye.
No.
4 ayes, 2 noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Now turn to item G7. Acquisition of easement rights and interest in property for location, extension, installation, maintenance of public sanitary sewer facilities, provide sanitary sewer service to the southwest area of the City of Franklin by way of the Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer installation upon property in the area from the intersection of South 60th Street and West Ryan Road, generally following the Ryan Creek, to the intersection of West Ryan Road and South 112th Street, thence westerly along West Ryan Road to the west city limits upon the following 6 properties identified by the acquisition map, parcel number, tax key number, and address respectively as follows: 14,897-9994-000 and 7011 West Ryan Road, 218,895-9999-000 and South 92nd Street, 320,894-9998-002 and 9533 South 92nd Street, 422,893-9995-001 and 10233 West Ryan Road, 523,893-997-002 and West Ryan Road, 624,893-9998-000 and 9720 South 112th Street, 725,893-9997-001 and 10903 West Ryan Road, 826-892-999-89-001 and 10903 West Ryan Road, 927,892-998-000 and 9720 South 112th Street, 10 28,892-9991-000 and 11111 West Ryan Road, 11,29,892-9992-000 and West Ryan Road, 1230,892-9994-00 and 11327 West Ryan Road, 1331,891-9989-004 and 11607 West Ryan Road, 1433,891-9989-001 and 11908 West Ryan Road, 1534,891-9993-000 and West Ryan Road, and 1641,890-9991-001 and West Ryan Road. The council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes Chapter 19.85 Sub 1E to consider the terms and negotiation of the public acquisition of easements for public sanitary sewer service for the extension of Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer Project for competitive and bargaining reasons, and to re-enter upon open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. City Attorney or Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, Mr. Bennett? Mayor, first of all, there's a typo on that. It's 16 parcels. Obviously, you read 16 parcels, but the one is missing, and that's in the middle of the paragraph. After discussing with the city attorney the resolution approving the acquisition of land, we indicated that the city engineer could make some minor changes, and particularly in environmental sensitive areas, but in other areas where property owners wanted to change. Let me just walk through these. Don't expect you to see the map from your area. That's why these were talked about.
We can't.
On the right-hand side, you see the first red mark. That's through the property on the southeast corner of Ryan Road and 76th Street, the O'Malley property. And they have requested to bring the sewer further into the property. We didn't meet with the state. They will get access in that area, so they'll be recommending that change or have made that change in it. The second area of change is basically on the Mark Wolf property. The original change was going through secondary environmental corridor and then the wooded area of the Warbling property where he has a model railroad that's the size you could ride on. And we're recommending avoiding the tree area and bringing it south through the field. Also eliminating putting it through Bosch Lane. Bosch Lane's a dead end street. And we do have a couple real elderly couples. One couple, Warbling, that their attorney called and asked if we could possibly keep them going down Bosch Lane because she's going to have a hard time getting out. So we think this works better. The other change is the Drzyski property. This is the one that you received, I think, a copy of a letter from that lives in Minnesota that is asking us to buy his property for $1 million. But to avoid going through some wetlands and a rather odd configuration, actually going straight through his property and then north. And this is the property just east of the mayor property. That's all the changes in alignment. But then the second sheet that I've given you is a couple changes in easement area. That's this sheet here. Red means what was, and green is the change. And the first on the right-hand side, or it's more of a pink. On the right-hand side, that's the Wolf property. And we had originally talked to them about having an access easement along their east property line. After more discussion with them, they have recommended that we move that over to their, basically their west property line. So that's a change based on that. The other one is in kind of in the middle of the property. It's parcel 40, 39 and 30.
It was like 36 and 40.
That's the Mayer property, the Scott Mayer property. We originally were going between two lots that he had divided. Because he has one of those lots for sale, the rest requested that we move that further to the east. And then on the left-hand side of the drawing, parcels 35 and 41, originally the sewer's going down the center of the street, but they needed more room than the right-of-way. They were going to do that on the south side, but the south side is both wooded in the right-of-way and wooded outside the right-of-way, and that would require taking quite a few trees down. So we moved it to the north side, which is primarily open field area. So that's the changes. You may or may not want to enter a closed session, but these are what you have before you are the appraisals made by the single source, the city appraisal company. We recommend approving the appraisals. They would be offered to the property owners. If the property owners accept the appraisal, then cut a check and the easement would be obtained. If they don't, then it would, one way or another, will come back to the Common Council. They can request their own appraisal, and if they do that, they have a right of appraisal that the city has to pay for. We are offering everybody that if they choose not to have an appraisal, we will pay them $2,000, which is the general cost of a second appraisal. So if they have a second appraisal, then we bring that the second appraisal back to the council. That would probably be in I think they have 60 days to do a second appraisal, so it would probably be within a couple months. So I recommend it's important for the grant, and it was mentioned, somebody mentioned, why don't we get all the, get the grant and get the project ready to go before we do the easements. Well, I agree, that would be a smart way of doing it. But that's not way that we want our grant, is that they, and you know, I can see from their end, when they allocate this money, they want to be sure they've got projects that aren't going to fail. And so they say, you got to have everything ready to go before they'll give you the clear water loan. And that means you have to have, we have to have a letter from, in the packet, we have to have a letter from the city attorney saying that all the easements have been obtained. And that has to be around September 1st. So it's important that we move on this because we want to get in the original loan program, which is the 60% loan program. And if everything comes together, we will make that.
Is there a motion to authorize the offering price for easement acquisitions for acquisition map parcels 4, 18, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 33, 34, and 41 for the Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer Project as recommended by the appraisal firm of Single Source, Inc. and the city engineers?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second with the following corrections.
All right. Alderman Solomon.
I know it's important. Item 8, the correct tax key number is 892-9980-001. Item parcel number 27 is 892-9998-000. And parcel number 30 is 892-9994-000.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm.
You didn't ask if we had any discussion before we took the vote, so we were in such a hurry to get past this. So I guess I'll have to make a second motion to amend. I was going to make a second motion to amend the motion to include the corrections of the omitted language within the appraisal summary of parcel number 34 and other parcels as needed for accuracy. There's omitted language in the in at least number 34 by a single source.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second discussion.
Under discussion.
Do we know what that language is?
Yeah, it
Alderman Olson?
The question is who has the missing language and who gets it?
The city attorney or Mr. Bennett?
I would say subject to the review and approval by single source.
That would be my second.
Okay. So the motion that's on the table is proper, Mr. City Attorney. Doesn't affect the first motion.
No.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm.
It's pretty simple. It's boilerplate stuff. It just, when they did the second page, it didn't get carried over. And there might be other easements that's the same way. I didn't read through every exact because that language is just the same. It just kind of misses a complete sentence, and then it's not carried over in the summary page on the next page. It's very obvious in number 34. But before we move on, could I ask just a couple questions on what there are, how many parcels total?
38.
How many have we done so far?
38.
This is the last set of them?
Yes.
Okay. So once we've done these, they're not confidential at this point? Or they're... Because I see they've already been sent out, some of them.
The prices are still confidential because we want the appraiser to be able to... We don't want these people to read in the newspaper what the offer is. We want that presented by the appraiser. So it still would be confidential. After the offer has been made to them, then as far as I'm concerned, it's
So when it says offer sent, that's the offer made.
The offer has been sent to single source. What the mayor will do after, if you approve, well, you have approved this, so the mayor has a packet of signed approval that the council has approved the offer. That goes to single source, and then single source will go out and meet with the people, explain their appraisal, and give them the offer. So, yes,
okay.
It's still confidential.
Are there... any people that didn't agree to let you do this? You have?
Oh.
Do we have any other? Might be an issue because I know you said you had to have them all in place to go for application. Have any objectional forms at this point?
I think there's going to be some people that don't accept this, yes.
Okay, so that might
be. I mean, we're going to try. I think what we're going to do is try very hard to see if we can't get everybody to agreeably give us the easement. I think this one person that I just mentioned, Jurisdiczki, submitted a letter that he keeps going on about the landfill. I think you all seen that letter.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we're going to get any place with him. I know there's a couple. Mr. Nepentic has indicated
right.
that he's
so this,
not going to. And,
okay.
But,
so this total cost on here plus the extra $2,000 per... is not something we can discuss on what we're paying for easements.
Right. I mean, probably should.
Moving on to item H, Alderman Solomon.
Eric setback, hold pending the court date. Jacobs Pub, approve with a letter. Hideaway, approve with a letter. Klein, approve with a letter. Baker, approve. Cower, approve. Walker, approve. From the city clerk, do you want me to read these?
No.
No? Okay. M Squared Incorporated and the rest of the agenda are all hold pending inspection and police reports.
Mark, you know about this?
Yeah.
Would you say that again, please, Tim?
From M Squared Incorporated, and everything else on the agenda, page 2, page 3, and page 4, are all on hold pending inspections and police reports.
Okay. And that's your motion?
That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to
Item I-1, you have before you vouchers numbers 138398 through 138557, amount of $846,357.44. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilnow.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the payroll of May 6th, 2011, in an amount of $343,327.53. Is there a motion approved?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilnow.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. A motion to adjourn.
So
is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Aye.